We had a little bit of technical difficulties there. We apologize, but Will, no one heard anything you said.
People are calling.
Oh, good.
Oh, is that why the phone lines are coming up?
Because I could say it again.
But was I talking? Was I saying things? Will was in Hawaii. Oh, no, you went to Hawaii for 9 days before you came to Chicago. This is a lot of fun. I know. I blame the band that was in here previously.
Well, I blame me. I should have turned the little thing. This is mic on. That would have been very...
No, that was my fault, too. Yeah. No, we started the... Here's what happened for those of you calling in. We started the show, and my headphones weren't working. So I just turned to you, because you would be the only person I could actually hear. So if Craig
you heard me in real life.
I could hear you in real life, because you're in the room with me. So it didn't occur to me. Even if I turned your microphone on, I still wouldn't have heard you in my headphones. So to me, we were having a conversation. To everybody out there, I was talking to myself.
It sounded great, though.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I pride myself on talking to myself all the time. I have so many conversations in my head. Let me start out this way. Will Durst is live in the Allstate Showcase studio, one of my favorite comedians and one of the best political commentators in the country. You may recognize him. You had a series on PBS series. A
couple of series. One was called Livelihood. The other was called The Durst Amendment.
Yes. And you've done a lot of political specials. People recognize your voice. You're from Milwaukee.
I have clawed
You're
my
beloved.
Way to the middle.
Yeah. Haven't we all? I mean, that's as long as we're not sliding to the back to the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of the thing, isn't it?
Well, this is an election year.
Yes, and you're not in Iowa, was what you were explaining.
And I'm not in. Oh, look at. Oh my God, it's all the guys from the show.
Oh,
look at that.
That's really creepy.
It is.
Do we bring campaign into the studio?
Many.
Yeah, come on in.
Yeah,
tell,
yeah.
Come in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come into this.
Come
yeah,
on
get,
in.
Get, yes, go around that way. Oh, my goodness. I don't have enough microphones for everybody. We'll have to pick and choose. I picked Dwayne, and that's it. I've Kevin Naughton, I think, was nervous about doing political humor because he doesn't generally do political comedy.
He was great.
Yeah.
He was great. Kevin Naughton, Dwayne Kennedy, Emily...
Galati.
Galati. Mm-hmm. She was wonderful.
I would like for you to do that when she's in the studio is say, Emily... Galati.
No, I won't.
Well, it's hard for her because she does a lot of feminist humor, which can, she's had some really weird, backlash, both on stage, you know, the kinds of response she gets from audience members, but after shows, she gets a very strange reaction as well. I think that's what we're going to do. We'll have some of them in and we will talk about what it's like to do political humor, in particular in this race, because no one is hiding their hate.
It is a target rich environment.
No one's hiding their hate. They used to hide their hate. Just a little bit, at least, right?
No, Trump has changed everything.
Yeah,
doesn't matter what he says.
But has he changed
it? In the polls.
Has he changed it, or are they just they don't feel like they have to pretend anymore? Because I contend that you know they were blowing the dog whistle for years. They were saying this without saying.
Pat Buchanan.
Many of them. Well, even in the push pulling when John McCain was running down in South Carolina, they basically were like, come on, you're racist, and we're going to kind of let you believe that something untoward happened.
If you knew that John McCain had a black child, would you be more or less inclined to vote for him? They didn't say that he did.
This is actually weirder now with all the comics. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
He didn't say that he did have a child but we said if he did. Well, then because then the optics become he's on these rallies and he has a child who's darker skinned. They're like, oh, because that person called and said that he might have, but they didn't.
No, that was the Bushes, and that's how because McCain won North Carolina.
Right.
I mean, New Hampshire. He won New Hampshire, so the next one was South Carolina, and the Bushes took it back.
Yeah. And everything else.
George W.
Well, we have all the comedians that were performing at campaign live in the Allstate Showcase studio.
Including an audience member.
We actually have the audience, too.
Did you bring the audience with you? How strange. How do we decide that the black comedian doesn't get a chair? How did that happen? I'm just wondering. Dwayne's like, I'll just stand over. Would you just assume that you have to stand for the rest of the ride? Is that what happened?
No, my white guilt is such that I will give him my chair.
No. You sit where you are. Because, I mean, the choices are really Slagle or Naughton, as far as I'm concerned. Because I do want to ask Emily about some things that have been happening at her shows lately. But we have to take a break here, and we're going to come back. Well, I'm just saying, maybe they thought you wanted to hang a coat up. Yeah. More after this on 720 WGN.
Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom brings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA! Enemies of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys, take them down.
from strength or get crushed every time.
I'm really enjoying the look of disbelief from Will Durst because he has not yet heard this amazing music. Let it play a little more under there. You
no,
go.
No, yeah. No, stop. You're killing me.
And here's the thing. George M. Cohan's song over there is actually public domain, so they can, in fact, do this. Yes. So we're actually working on our own version, yes?
You know what's nice about this version is it's got the bouncy ball, so I could sing along if I
wanted. Oh, can you
to.
Go ahead. Can you sing along, please?
I really don't want to.
Thank you.
I said if I wanted to. I do not want to sing along.
I'm
going to
need you to go ahead and sing along with that, correct? No?
USA, USA, USA. No, I'm not going to do this.
All right. Yes, Will. This dirty. Was at a Donald Trump rally. They had three little girls. What was fun, too, is behind the stage where a bunch of people, like, trying to clap as well, which is a problem when you don't have anybody of color.
A lot of white people.
Yeah, it's very. Did you also see that when Hillary Clinton was also speaking at an event in New Hampshire, and so everybody on the dais was white, and people were posting, oh, a lot of diversity. It's New Hampshire. It's 95% white. If someone invited me to a rally in New Hampshire, I'd be like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to go. I think I'm going to go ahead and stay home. That sounds kind of scary.
I don't understand why New Hampshire and Iowa have such a stranglehold on the early ones. I know all the press would want to do it in Guam and Hawaii in the middle of winter.
No kidding. It's very surreal. Yeah, because wintertime makes you angry, right? Which apparently we're seeing a lot of in Iowa. Donald Trump said that his voters, his supporters, would still vote for him.
If he shot a man in the middle of the street in Park Avenue.
I don't understand what's happening.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
That's kind of creepy.
And what do you think Dick Cheney thought about that? Yep, been there. Been there.
And it was my best friend.
Yeah, exactly. Got away with it. So we have with us in the studio, and I want to make sure I get people's names right. I have Dwayne and Faison.
Yeah.
And Emily and Kevin. Can you see if these headphones can go somewhere? And everyone, just in case we have any callers who want to either call and join the conversation or, you know, perhaps let a little steam off, because we are doing our Trumpinion section of the show. When Donald Trump announced his candidacy last summer, I contended that he would be in it for quite a long time. And I won a lot of bets with professors,
yeah.
With an editor for the Chicago Tribune. They said that he wouldn't make it past a debate. His numbers would go down after the debate. I said all along this was going to happen. I don't feel good saying I told you so. This is like the least favorite thing I've ever been right about.
Yeah, it's like the, you know, predicting the end of the world, you know. See, I told you the world was going to end.
No, I don't. I believe Scott Stantis is still supposed to wear his high school football. He's supposed to get waxed. And I don't think we have to see footage of that. But he's supposed to have his body waxed. And then he's supposed to play his flute. And not like that. I mean, that's not why he's getting waxed.
That would have been more interesting.
Careful, you're with a lot of comics here.
Hello. My audience is like, great, there's so many more of them. But I had a lot of backlash from listeners who were, from the outset, from the get-go, big supporters of Donald Trump's, who were very excited that he jumped in the race, that he was saying things that nobody else wanted to say. Even if you heard someone on Lower Wacker Drive say that to you, you would not stop and talk to them.
No.
But somehow this is the person that you think is appealing as a president of the United States.
I never get how the crazier you are, the more people think that you're qualified. That's the guy that I want leading me.
Yes.
You know, the one that says stuff that I would never say in public. That's the person I want to represent the United States of America.
The guy with no filter.
No filter.
No filter.
Or who says this? You know, I'm just saying what everybody's thinking. You think everybody's thinking that? That's what you thought everybody was thinking?
It is absolutely surreal. And people don't even know what his plans are, right? They don't care.
Including Donald Trump.
No. And I tried Googling this. Emily, by the way, because this is where I want to bring you in the conversation, too. I mean, there's so many more things that you have to talk about. But because I follow a lot of your posts, I tried Googling where he stood on abortion, on choice. He goes back and forth, by the way. He has in the past said he supports, and you have to come closer to the microphone, because you are treading in, you have walked into the waters at many comics, whether they're female or male, that don't want to talk about abortion, and you're talking about Planned Parenthood, and you are getting responses from the audience that, you know, isn't what we want, but at the same time, I think it's important that you're doing it.
Well, thank you.
And
trying.
Well, hang in there. But yeah. Will did not know about an experience that you had after a show one night. What article of what item did someone hand you at the end of a show?
Yeah, I was like still on stage, hadn't left. So he walked up while everyone was still looking at me and it was like, you're pro-choice. You can use this, and handed me a hanger. And it was like, okay.
Wow. Like, yeah, it's
geez. What club?
It was, you know, it was a...
Who books that? Who do I send my avails to?
It was just a bar in Chicago.
Just a bar.
I like it had hangers?
Yeah.
It had a closet?
Did someone bring it with him?
It was, yeah.
It had to be someone that brought, because it's someone who's seen your show before.
No, like, this joke is, like, now it's maybe a month and a half old. Like, right. It was the first time I think I actually told it in Chicago. So, like, no one had seen it. And the worst was he was the bouncer at the bar.
No.
Yeah, he worked there.
Well, that's how he had access to the coat room. He's I got it. Hold on a second, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody say abortion?
Not only did he, he thought it was funny. Like, not only did he, like, try to tag my joke, but he tagged it with something terribly offensive. He thought, like, everyone would be like, yeah, that's so funny. Way to go. And I was like, no.
Well, you were so far from a prop comic, it's not even compatible. You know, I mean, you know, she doesn't even bring a purse on stage, much less a trunk like Carrot Top.
Non-comics trying to think that, you know, especially bars. Yeah. Because it's their turf, and then suddenly we're on their turf, and you know they think, "Oh, I'm funny in real life." Yeah. People think I'm a comic.
No, and like what I say, like it was a wooden hanger, so it was so off. It's just confusing at some point. Yeah. Like, where do you think that's supposed to go?
A wooden hanger that was probably unvarnished.
Yeah. That's not sanitary.
No.
What do I do with this? Beat the stork when it comes? I don't know. What do you want to do with a wooden hanger?
Yeah. Will, you have been doing this. You've been doing politics for a long time. I'm not saying, I hate when people tell me, you've been doing this for a long, long time. Let's take it down a notch. But you've done this long enough.
You were my mom's favorite comic when she was little.
Yeah. I was in college when you became my favorite comic. I think that's okay, right?
Yeah.
But you've done this enough times to have, I'm guessing, all kinds of reactions. Do you, I mean, because is it something where people feel comfortable to just attack you off stage and say, you know, challenge you on the things that you've commented on?
I get some walkouts, not a lot though, because I kind of hit both sides. I make fun of Hillary, I make fun of Trump, you know, I make fun of the process.
Right.
Pretty much is what I'm doing.
And I think that's the way to go. I mean, it's hard when you're passionate about one side that to sort of make sure that you are, because at the end of the day, right, we want to share our art, we want to, you know, bring a perspective, but comedy clubs are there to make money off of drinks.
And you want to make the audience laugh.
Right.
That's the whole idea. That's how you get booked back, ostensibly.
Right.
You heard from a friend.
Right.
Someone told me once.
Right. You never hear a comedian say, it was a good week. I made them think.
Woo!
When are they having you back? Oh, they're never having me back. That's making me think.
We all learned something this week. Comes full circle.
Now, on the other hand, Kevin, you generally don't do political humor. How did it go tonight?
I have no idea. I'm trying to figure out how I can help Emily merchandise hangers at the end of the show. Maybe there's some way she wants to put her little logo on there. It's, hey, I'm selling them at the end. Maybe that's what the guy was trying to infer.
Oh, my God.
Coming up after the news, we're going to take a break here. We're going to take a break here and piece this all back together. But I do want to talk to some of our listeners and find out where you are as we head into the caucus next week in Iowa. It's not ours. It's theirs. But look, we have our own problems in Illinois, but this is something that's going to affect us all. You know, on the national level. So more after this on 720 WGN. I'm hanging out with all the comics from Campaign every last Monday of the month at Zanies on Wells. Go to zanies.com for more information. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by this evening sidecar, our guest, Will Durst, who just performed at Zanies on Wells, part of a big show called Campaign, political humor from some of the best comics in the country. And you're there through Sunday?
I am. I'm starting my little solo. Well, not a solo thing.
Yeah, the people I know. Kevin's going to be all involved.
Who's with us today? He's going to be joining me, and I think Michael Capozzola is going to be there Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I think Thursday somebody else. Thursday through Sunday,
we got to show up and find out who the surprise guests are.
But Kevin and I are there all the way through Sunday, mocking and scoffing and taunting.
Yeah, exactly, as you should be.
With taste.
Does it ramp up a little bit for you in a year like this with the primaries?
Yeah, I was explaining to Tim Slagle that my career has a sine wave. You know, it peaks during the quadrennial presidential election year. The next year, swear to God, nobody wants to hear about politics.
Oh,
nobody. La 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 la. They cover their ears, and then the midterms it comes up a little bit, and then the year they're running, year before the quadrennial they're running, so it looks like a heartbeat. It really does.
Does it feel that way for you too? Okay, I'm good. Oh no,
I know, but it's so lush and rich and thick, like a tropical rainbow. It's fecund. It really is.
Ooh,
it's fecund.
Could you please note that as the first time the word fecund has ever been used on the show? I appreciate it. Thank you very much. We really have to keep track of these things.
He just offended
our word.
You mother.
What? I'm gonna have fun. I don't know what to do with that. There you go. It's not a good bleeping noise. How much do you think this year's Trump's popularity really has to do with people liking him as much as it is the coverage that he gets, the numbers that turn out? You know, it sort of feeds on itself at some point.
Yeah, there's a point of diminishing returns, though. I mean, when the guy says that he can kill somebody on, I could shoot somebody in the middle of Park Avenue and they would still love me. You know,
312-981-7200 for our Trump, our Trumpeteers. We want your Trumpinion. Do you really still support somebody who says they could shoot someone on Michigan Avenue or somewhere in New York? Is that still your guy? I'm curious.
But you know, a lot of it, I think. Is because the GOP has demonized politics for so many years that anybody connected with a Capitol dome is tainted at this point.
Right. I mean, this is what they have been building for decades. You know, I don't know how much farther it goes before the Vietnam War when, you know, be afraid of the hippies and the black people are coming for everything that you have and the Mexicans are taking your jobs. Everyone's getting darker and they don't speak your language. They fed on those fears for the campaigns. When Nixon did it, they all did it during the 60s and it continued in the 70s and 80s.
And Reagan did it.
And then they got a little more veiled about it because everyone got, well, now we have to be politically correct. Politically correct kind of just means not being an ass about stuff. I don't know. That's just the way I take it now.
Right. Now we can't be jerks. Well, you know, you said all that stuff was going on in the 70s and 80s. Patty, I just did a show in Woodburn, Indiana, and it is going on currently there.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying it was a building process, where they started feeding on that, right?
Yes.
Now, as African Americans got more, access to voting, to, you know, voicing their opinions and moving up to the front of the bus.
Once they got all uppity.
Once there's legislation to go, look, this is actually what we're going to put into law because you all don't know how to get along.
Right. So we have to establish laws. Okay, we've got a law now that they can actually walk to the polls and vote.
Yes.
That's the law.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we have to be, we can run these campaigns that are like, oh, you know, well, they're coming for everything else.
Right. Well, it's interesting, like Emily was saying when she did a show and the cat handed her the hanger. One time I did a bit about slavery. Kat handed me a copy of the 13th Amendment, just like, oh, man, thanks.
I was so glad it was the amendment. You were going to say that because I was like, yeah. Emily and I went for rope. They handed you a rope? Yeah, we got a little nervous.
No.
Get a little bit nervous.
I don't do that club anymore.
Who books that?
Faison. That was Lynchies. I didn't know.
Faison, where are you from originally?
I was born in California. My parents are from India.
And how are you? Are you living in California now?
No, I'm living in the Chicago burbs.
Okay. Yeah. So are you performing have you performed with Tim before? Because I'm sure he keeps things entertaining.
Oh, this is the first time I'm performing with Tim.
First time ever? Yeah, yes. What were your thoughts on tonight's show?
It was fantastic. They seem to be down with the Muslim stuff for the most part.
Where are they not down with the Muslim stuff?
Most everywhere else. Pretty much. Everywhere. I know. Pretty much.
Yeah, except for the show tonight.
Everywhere.
Yes. Just like everywhere else.
Southern Indiana, they just really don't like the Muslim stuff.
But is there a club there that you have been booked at?
No, just bars full of just...
Do they know that you're coming to do Muslim stuff?
They know that someone's coming. They don't know it's me that's coming. So it's like a nice surprise. Like, surprise, I'm here. And right. I'm really Muslim.
But is it across the board a negative response? Or because I have to imagine that you keep at it. It's got to be hard when it's just this one show.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's like half the it's like some people are like, oh, and then a lot of people are like, oh, I just never get to meet a Muslim. So it's like, it's almost delighted. It's like, oh, here's a Muslim I can actually meet. So it's like, here I am. I'm normal.
You're the Muslim comic ambassador.
I'm the token. It's a lot of pressure because I have to be funny and I have to not blow up anything. It's a lot of pressure to do both of those things.
Right.
Like, how am I supposed to denounce terrorism and be funny? It's a lot of pressure
to do
both things.
Right. Well, and now because I'm guessing people are like, well, I didn't know what you were going to do. Mm. They must come to you with questions after the show, too.
Yeah, I get a lot of dumb questions. No, I can't do that joke. People ask me like what my opinion of ISIS is, like as if there's an opposing viewpoint to be had. Like there's like an
what do you think of ISIS?
He might have a different opinion. Yeah,
right. Like you're supposed to talk about the 1970s superhero show.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I the only one?
No, I got that. Yeah,
right,
or Venezuelan women because it's a popular name in Venezuela. ISIS.
That's right.
Fun fact.
But also a goddess, I believe.
Yeah.
So
it's
a lot of different ways to go, but they're not. But see, if we start to get sarcastic with somebody who's trying to just coming from a place of
ignorance.
I don't
like the way he was talking about ISIS. Yeah.
Well, they get angry.
They do, yeah.
If you try to get cynical or sarcastic right back. Because and I get a lot of, I don't usually like female comics.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's a fun one for me.
All the time. So always good, yeah.
Or the worst, even when you do a show, I don't know if they still do this anymore, you know, the male MC. Okay, brace yourself. We got a woman coming to the stage. You might want to strap in.
One of them lady comics you read about.
Yeah.
I've told this story several times on the show, and there's a comedian, let's call him, Louis Ramey. I asked him, and here's the thing, like, I didn't ask him, like, just arbitrarily. It's because it happens time to time where a comic will go on, will say something like, she's really attractive, I get tired. So the trap I fell into was I asked him, what I said was, don't say anything about the way I look. That's all. I didn't say don't say I'm pretty or don't say I'm cute or don't. I didn't say any of those words. I said just don't say anything about the way I look. Don't in my intro. Just I'm a favorite at Zany's. He went on stage and spent 2 minutes talking. He goes, all right, now she's really, and he used other language, a lot of dirty language. He goes, she's really messed up in the face. Now you gotta look past that. Like, you know, when you see a beautiful Corvette, but it's covered in bird poop, but underneath all
what?
That bird poop, like there's a beautiful car. And this was my set the night before I did the Just for Laughs that I taped for TBS. Yeah. It was my last set that I got to rehearse. No, I've had fun. It's been a good time. I walked in. Into, I mean, like the audience is like, I mean, he went so above and beyond. Yeah, wow. It was.
Those are things that like people think it's okay to talk about women that way.
Yeah,
like, you think it's hilarious.
But the reaction, the reason he did that was you think you're all that. Like I had somehow like in my imagination decided to ask him. I just wanted a straightforward introduction. Mm-hmm. After, by the
how
way, 15
you,
years.
Way. Yeah, how dare you?
Just... Right, you don't tell me what to do.
Yeah,
like, and then he assaulted your intro.
Yeah.
Well,
Martin Short was in the room too. So much fun for me.
There was a comic at the Des Moines Funny Bone, and he was the house MC, and he was known as the Round Guy. I don't know if you remember the Round Guy.
I remember that name.
And he was the laugher on the morning show, the morning zoo show. So he was a designated laugher when the other two. And so he got to MC at the club, and he would give out. And he knew I was from San Francisco. So he introduced me, right, with all these gay things. And not just innuendo. I mean,
why?
He did me backstage and stuff like that. Because he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't care. You know, hole that you got to dig out of.
Yeah.
But that humor pervaded the club because he set the bar for that club.
Yeah. I just did Des Moines New Year's Week, and the MC ended his set by getting everyone to sing Christmas carols, but like whatever Christmas carol it was, the lyrics would just be "I love titties," and the whole crowd was on board singing "I love titties." And then he's like, "Your next comic's a lady," and I'm like, "Oh,
oh boy.
Thank you." Like I was like, "How do you like?" I spent 5 minutes going, "I don't know what to say," like, and everyone was looking at me like it was awkward because of me, and I was like, "There's no way."
Oh, here comes the buzzkill.
I was just like, there's no way like that would happen at your job. And they'd be like, all right, we all love titties. Karen, can you give us a presentation on the fiscal quarter? There's no way you'd have to follow that.
Yeah. Like, right. It is a strange career choice.
So 20 years later and the bar has still not come back up.
No.
He set the bar so low.
Let's see.
He didn't just set it low. He buried it.
Yeah.
With a front loader.
Yeah.
So deep you couldn't find it with a metal detector.
Let's see if we can find the bar during this break. More after this on 720 WGN. See what I did there. See what I did. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, surrounded by some of the best comics you will find anywhere. We have Dwayne and Faison, Emily, Kevin, Will Durst, Tim Sligo. We didn't give him a microphone this time. He had like 2 hours last week. Will, you are performing at Zany's this entire week through Sunday night, and then you take February off for something in particular. Now, did you plan
Chicago?
No, I quit
drinking. I quit drinking in February.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I read somewhere that if you quit drinking for a month, that your liver will regenerate 98%. And I chose February because...
Short.
Black History Month. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't get it.
I know it's 29 days this year.
Leap year.
I can't learn about Black History and have a drink.
Give me that knowing look, like you know why, don't you, Dwayne? Nope. Because Black History Month, brother. Because everybody quits things.
Black History Month.
Sure.
Let's quit racism.
Hey, that's when I gave up on justice doing Black History Month.
No justice, no beer.
Yeah, so did you pick Chicago as the last week of your ability?
As my ramp.
Yeah.
It's my springboard.
It's perfect, and you guys are heading to the Billy Goat right after this.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's absolutely perfect. And Kevin, you have a show next Monday night, so you're doing Zany's all week and then Snapshots next Monday, correct?
Not next Monday, it's the February the 8th.
I've heard it both ways.
8th.
Are we still talking about my show? Or?
February 8th.
February 8th.
You have Snapshots? Okay,
yes, and
cool.
The 29th also.
All right, well, then we'll have you back before then.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Although I'll be out of studio next week. I'm going to Los Angeles.
Check you out.
What?
Yeah.
Well, because I want it to be warm again in my life. No, I'm going to... So I'll be in L.A., but we'll figure out a night for you to come in.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about Snapshots.
Snapshots, if I can pronounce it properly, is just a show consisting of aspiring comics who want to get into the club, work out material. I have veterans who have stopped by. People like even Hannibal Buress at the end of my show just popped in out of nowhere. So I never know. It's
ruined somebody else's life. Has he done that? Although he didn't ruin Bill Cosby's life. I think that it was time to shed some light on that.
Yeah, I think he was working on that material at my show.
did he ever do it at your show? I was going to say,
I'm just trying to go along here. Just trying to make things go.
I threw a speed bump in the road. Yes.
Like technically the guy that took the cell phone video when it was supposed to ruin Cosby's life.
Technically it was the guy that put the drugs in the women's.
A little bit.
I'm gonna go ahead and say
you
this.
I never jumped on the Cosby thing until like the 55th woman. But I mean, the 54th, I'm still vacillating a little bit. But then when it was 55,
sure. And something weird happened this weekend where there was, I don't know, did you see the social media war with Amy Schumer, Kathleen Madigan, Wendy Liebman, and Tammy Pescatelli?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
So,
who versus who?
Well, all of them against Amy, right? Not against, but yeah, I mean, basically calling her on stealing material. It started with Wendy Liebman, who apparently had seen, she saw a meme that was had taken one of her jokes and memed it without credit for her. So she tweeted out, "First, Amy Schumer uses my joke in her HBO special, and now now this meme takes my joke. I'm down with social media, right? So match thrown. And the response from a, I think it was a director from Arrested Development said, you and Kathleen Madigan should talk. So Kathleen Madigan jumped in, and basically her tweet was about how I could show you video of the egregious, I can't remember the word, but thievery, basically. So then Tammy Pascatelli jumped in and said, you know, and she holds herself up as a feminist. And, but the joke that she, the, what she wrote on Twitter, unfortunately, she back, I mean, she said that at least Bill Cosby drugged his victims before he raped them. Mm. Right. So
who said that?
Tammy did. Tammy Pascatelli did. Yeah. So it was very strange, because I don't think people understand in the career that we have chosen, you know, the your material is yourself. So if you,
it's sacred.
It is. We haven't said that yet. It's sacred. And it was really heart-wrenching to watch three women. I know Tammy. I know Kathleen very well. And that was the one for me. I don't know Wendy as well. But when Kathleen stepped in, I was like, well, this just got real, because she would not carelessly step into this, nor would she do it without any basis for making that accusation. And somebody texted us that I sounded like judge and jury. I'm like, I'm just being a character witness. Kathleen Madigan means it. That's all I know. And it was a bit that she did for
her. There is no artifice.
No.
With Kathleen.
No.
It's so real. That's the beauty of her act. That is her on stage. Mm-hmm. There's not the prettiest her, not the sexiest her. She's just real. The rest of us, we try to distill our characters on stage, you know, and she's just boom.
No cares given. I have to change that for radio.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, it's almost midnight, though.
Yeah. No, still zero F's available after midnight.
Now you can say no titties given.
No. You can't.
It is Music Monday on Pretty Late, and we are proud to welcome to the Allstate Showcase Studio singer-songwriter Eric Crowder, and here he is with Ready, Set.
Get set, you better be ready, I'm changing show. If you love me, babe, no, your life is already done. You got me steady holding on this moment that you said was for sure to come. I'm patient, but done waiting for it. Can't keep putting my life on hold. Get set, you better be ready. Oh, and I can't keep holding hands. You ain't going in the right direction. You ain't going towards the promise. And I can't keep giving you my time and attention. Oh, and she said, can you even call yourself a man? You don't offer me no kind of protection. I keep it short and hope you understand. I don't give you no more love and affection. Oh, no, no. What I need, you ain't buying the money. Spend your time, you'll get love from me. And she says, if you love me, baby, straighten your priorities. Everything don't even hold a candle to the life I am offering. Just think fast, make your decisions. My train is slowly moving. Oh, yeah. Get set, you better be ready.
can't keep holding hands. You ain't going in the right direction. You ain't going towards the promised land. I can't keep giving you my time and attention. Oh, when she said, can you even talk yourself a man? You don't offer me no kind of protection. I keep it short and hope you understand. I don't give you no more love than a friend.
Oh man,
Eric Crowder, thank you so much. With Ready Set I'm also on your website right now. I almost wish I'd asked you to bring a couple of these bourbon glasses that you have. This is beautiful artwork. You hand stamp every single one of your CDs?
Yeah, actually, I kind of had that idea. I wanted to do something different. You know, in an age where like everybody's doing digital, and I myself, you know, I can't tell you the last time I bought a CD. So if I feel if people are going to buy a CD, I want to make it something different, something special. So yeah, I sat at home watching reruns of The Shield.
That seems appropriate.
And yes. Just stamp these CDs, like all 500 of them.
See, so. Now that's how you binge watch something. You find something creative to do with your hands.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be just like a quick boom, boom, boom. It was not. That was not working right. It was like push it on there, get in the ink, then push it on there just right.
Right. And you have to typeset the stamps as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now, where are you from originally, Eric?
I grew up in a little town just north of here called Zion.
Zion, Illinois?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And so how is living in Chicago as far as the landscape with your music? Because it's amazing, and I'm guessing that you are embraced roundly here.
We can talk about that later.
Are there cliques? Is that what you're implying?
I think, you know, I've talked about this before in other interviews. I think Chicago is really tough, period. You know, even artists I know who do really well mm-hmm. outside of Chicago, they come home or they come here and they just have a really tough time cutting teeth. It's like, I think we're kind of like New York in the fact that we have so many entertainment options, you know? So it's like, especially like independent live music, unless you've got a heavy following via some buzz or whatnot, it's so hard to really build yourself up in Chicago. You almost got to prove your worth elsewhere. Because if we think about all the bands that come from Chicago, if we think about like R. Kelly and Smashing Pumpkins, all that, they went and they blew up in New York and L.A. and all that stuff, and then they came back, and then Chicago was like, yeah, you're from Chicago.
Right, but when you were here, well, yeah. It is a strange thing.
Yeah, it is kind of strange.
The reverse access to success.
Yeah.
You would think that here where they kind of, especially because the music reflects so much of what the city is like.
Right.
But maybe that's why, because they go to L.A. and New York, I guess. I mean, do you have any thoughts about going to L.A. or New York?
I'm not a big fan of either one, just because my family's here. I've thought about moving to, like, Nashville, especially because it's warmer.
That's beautiful. Nashville's great. Have you had an opportunity to perform in Nashville?
I've played in Nashville a handful of times, yeah. I really dig it there. It's a really cool city.
It is.
I think no matter where you're at, you can set it and make it a home base for yourself. With how the music industry runs now, it's like, especially being an independent artist, once you get to the point to where you can have, you know, a pull and make a decent income playing anywhere, it doesn't really matter where you set up shop as long as you're comfortable there and you like it there. The great thing about Nashville, it's got a lot of industry contacts without having the cost of living of L.A. or New York.
And what are the industry contacts like in Chicago? That must be a different sort of
atmosphere. It's just different. I think, you know, when people think about music towns, they think L.A., they think New York, they think Nashville. I mean, when people think Nashville, you know, they still think country, but it's so far beyond that. There's so many great, like, R&B and soul musicians I've met out in Nashville. They're just killer. So I don't think really one city is better over the next. Obviously, you know, because of the entertainment industry and in its abundance in Nashville, you're going to run into more people. But being an independent artist, I think you can be located anywhere and really build a career as long as you're willing to take risks and travel and put yourself out there and not think that you just can stay at home and make internet videos.
So are you on the road quite a bit?
I just started touring about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I would, for me, yeah, this is quite a bit. But I know a couple of years from now, I'll look back and it's like, man, I was barely doing anything.
Right. You know? Well, the thing about doing the road, I spent years on the road as a comic. That is part of, because you're in front of different audiences and the energy sometimes can inform, you know, not what you're doing maybe on stage, but the next performance that you have or the next thing that you write.
Very true. Very true. I'm a big stand-up comic fan, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I love stand-up
comedy. I love music. So this works out very well.
I find myself recently listening to more stand-up comedy than I do music.
Well, and I think that makes sense. I mean, because comics, if we listen to each other, there's a risk, and we were talking about this in the last hour, of emulating something someone else does. And what you strive for is being original. So I think it makes sense to listen to spoken word, to hear people telling jokes or stories if you're
a
musician.
And I think, too, it's almost like a motivation or not – maybe motivation is the right word, but inspiration type of thing. And I don't think inspiration always has to draw from directly. You know, like how many – cooks do you see, like, saying they made meals based off things they saw in nature?
Right.
You know, I saw these colors, or I saw this sunset, made me think of this. So it's like, I don't think music always has to have a direct influence from other musicians.
Right, because comics, what we bring are as a different perspective. Like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. Or I think that too, or I've been there. And when I listen to music, I generally am taken someplace where there's an emotion that I don't actually generally have the same kind of access to.
Right.
So
right.
I think that makes sense that we are fond of each other's areas of expertise.
Yes.
We are hanging out with Eric Crowder. He is always going to tell us a little bit about a video that he has coming out on Friday when we come back, and some more music with him. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Also, go to his website, Eric Crowder, and that's ARYKCROWDER.com. You can find out more about his music and his art. He's got some bourbon glasses. More about that when we come back on 720 WGN. We are enjoying Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we have with us Eric Crowder, singer, songwriter, and here he is with What You Want.
Feel my back is breaking from all the weight I seem to tote. Time is getting shorter, I'm only getting older, and my heart is growing cold. I can't seem to shake you loose. I'm addicted to the love we make. That's as much as I can do. So soon you say you love me. I can't claim the same. I just need the company. Yeah. What you want, I can't give. So just take what you can give. For tonight, anything just can't be your everything. You mixed up my attention for affection. I'm trying to break your heart. I won't be satisfied until I call you mine. But my lines were drawn clear from the start. I just can't keep to shake you loose. I'm addicted to the love we make, but that's much I can do. So soon you say you love me. I can't claim the same. I just needed company. Yeah. What you want, I can't give. So just take what you can give. For tonight, anything. Just can't be your everything.
just take what you can give. For tonight, I'm anything. I just can't be your everything.
Yeah, that's Eric Crowder with What You Want. And your music is just, you know, there's a bit of heart-wrenching. There's so much insight. I'm actually watching one of your videos right now as well. Not that this song.
Such a stalker.
I am a little bit. Eric Crowder, ARYKCROWDER.com. There's a video here called, the first one I clicked on was One by One, which is, I can't hear the music on it, but it's such an homage to the city of Chicago as well as what it looks to be.
I wrote about Chicago.
It's beautiful because, well, you start out at one of my favorite places in the city of Chicago, which is up by Fullerton Harbor. By the point. No?
You got the wrong quiz question. It's down by the museum.
Is it down by the point? That's not the point by Beach 5 with the trees at the end of the... Really? I did not know that. You did fool me. I should have known because there aren't any rocks there. That was my fault. Aren't any rocks. You know what I'm looking at? The sunshine.
The aquarium and the planetarium.
Oh, I got you. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Because there's a bigger hill there than there was at the point.
That's all right. I'm glad I tricked you, though.
I should have paid more attention because obviously there's ledges there. What is it like shooting around the city of Chicago when you're doing a video like this?
Well, you kind of hear like, oh, you need permits and all that stuff. I mean...
Well, let's not get too far into that because we don't want to get you in any trouble.
Yeah, that's fine. As long as you're like in and out and you kind of stay out of people's way.
And a lot of early morning I'm looking at.
I mean, and I'm not at the point where I'm shooting some Michael Bay production. You know, it's...
You mean you're not blowing up the entire downtown area for this?
No, I'm not shutting your entire work street down for 4 days.
No, you've got... you're on front steps. I'm guessing this is basically kind of your smaller crew. This is beautiful.
Yeah, it's one camera and like 3 or 4 people out there, so...
And now there's a gun in a teenager's bag, and I'm not sure what happens
there. Yeah.
So that is a reflection of Chicago.
So I wrote that song... a number of years ago, I heard the term Chirac at a couple poetry slams. Mm-hmm. And this was way before
Spike Lee started
making a film. This was way before it started becoming this pop culture term that people weren't from Chicago were making fun of. This is far before like it became a pop culture term.
Right.
And I was like, Chirac, are you serious? You compared in like Chicago to Iraq? That's what?
Yeah.
And so I kept hearing it over and over again. And the majority of these poets were all from the South Side and from these neighborhoods that had been riddled with gun violence. And I live in Uptown. And I kind of brush it off, like, you know, that stuff that happens in those neighborhoods for specific reasons. And I came home one day from work, and I was on my bike, and I was biking up Wilson Avenue. I don't know how well you know Uptown.
I do. Apparently not as well as the lakefront, but go ahead.
Sorry to bust your chops.
I'm teasing. Go ahead. I'm teasing myself.
But there's that church that's right on Wilson and Sheridan right there, mm-hmm. between Broadway and Sheridan. To come home, there's just cops crawling everywhere, and the tape up and everything. And my neighbor's like, man, did you hear about those people who got shot? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, right down, that's where those cops are from. And this is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday in the summer. I'm like, are you serious? This is a block from my house. Like, I've never experienced that kind of stuff firsthand. And I wasn't there when it happened. But kind of think like, you know, that happened a block from where I live. I've never really experienced that or had to deal with that. And I can only imagine the people that talk about this stuff every day and the people that go through this stuff, like what has to go through their minds and what they have to live with every day. And you hear about like people, 22 people shot this weekend, 3 people shot this weekend. And you're just like, we kind of brush it off because we don't see it all the time.
Right.
But can you imagine like living in that neighborhood and just...
Right.
Being a daily fear. And so I've always wanted to write a song about Chicago, but didn't want it to be like a hokey song. And so I took the opportunity to kind of take that and as an homage to Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, because I think we can take that same song and kind of put it into what's going on today here in Chicago.
Right.
And kind of took that and wrote my own Chicago homage.
No, it's spot on. I mean, it's because by the way, I don't know why there's a Muppets video on your page as well.
Because Muppets are awesome.
Yeah, you and my son can have a long conversation. No, I will.
Well, suggested links.
I guess, is that what it is? It's on your page.
It must be. I don't have Muppets on my videos.
That page. Right? Am I wrong? Bob Ferguson, it's his page, but there's a Muppets video playing on his page.
My YouTube page?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Is it because is it my browser history? I don't understand. It seems like a strange way to go from Chirac to Kermit sitting on a sitting in front of an orchestra singing. No, but I think that the way from what I even just from the video and listening to you talk this sort of picture of Chicago where I mean we live our lives and we can't imagine tragedy like this, this violence visiting us when it does happen, as you said, on a daily basis. What is it like to live that way, to think this might happen to you? Right. And we really can't. Even the people that live there are still trying to wrap their minds around it. They grow up under the shadow of extreme violence.
And I don't mean to make such a heavy topic here.
Now, please.
But yeah, I think the same thing holds true when you think about like what's going on over in Syria and whatnot. I think we're so far removed from the absolute horror those people are having to deal with. I mean, we hear about it on the news, but like we don't see it firsthand. But like if you experience it, if you were there, all of a sudden it's going to hit you hard. Kind of right. Like that's how I felt when I saw that thing happen a block down the street from my house. It hit a little harder. Granted, again, I wasn't there when it all went down, but I kind of saw it, the aftermath, and it just kind of hit a little harder. I'm like, wow.
It's easier for us all to judge from a distance, and we don't want to have any sort of tragedy visit somebody, but it is through our experiences that informs the way we see the world. We are hanging out with Eric Crowder, who obviously sees the world in a very profound way and channels that through his music. More with him when we come back after the news. Do we have a break before the news? We're going right to the news.
say what you need. I'll take all the heat, 'cause I know it's the easy way. You better stay strong on your own two feet, or the world's gonna have its way. You can be beautiful. Don't try so hard. Just stay beautiful.
That's Eric Crowder, and he... Oh, the next song he started playing. Let me do this. What's this one? Hello. Eric, what was the last song we just heard?
That song called Perfect Body.
Perfect Body, because that's what we all aspire to. At least that's what all of the TV shows, magazines, movies tell us that we should aspire to.
But then again, what's perfection, right?
Right.
Right.
Well, and that's what's so hard. I remember I dated a boy in college. Let's call him Tom, because that was his name. I remember Daniels. We were in the car one day and we were talking about bulimia, and he goes, I'm so tired of people blaming media. You know, these girls, you know, because they feel bad about themselves and make themselves throw up. It's their own fault. And there, you know, there's a lot of people that believe that, and that it's sort of this privileged girl sort of illness. But there's also along the way, whether it's in the media or your family, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not skinny enough. We judge each other by the way we fit in a dress or in a pair of jeans.
I was kind of talking about this earlier today a little bit. My niece, she's 6, and she loves broccoli. Right, like you don't hear about kids who love, like, kids don't love broccoli,
not unless it's in soup or with a lot of cheese.
She would just, she would eat
raw
that.
Or cooked. I'm raw, just curious. Cooked, raw's whatever, good. I like
whatever,
raw better.
Whatever. If it's broccoli in it, she'll eat it, and it's kind of weird, right? Like,
yes,
but you don't want to say that. And I thought about that myself. Like, you don't want to like put a negative stigma on it. Like, oh, hey, broccoli. Why are you eating that raw? What's wrong with you? You're 6. You should be eating cupcakes and soda. Like, no. Oh, you like broccoli? That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So it's like trying to reinforce those healthy habits, so like when she gets older, she doesn't think, oh, this is terrible, I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't like broccoli.
And why am I so weird?
Right, why am I so weird? And I think you're right on point. Like, you know, everything we do is a learned behavior, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, no one had to put a fork in our mouth. Like, that's not just innate. Somebody taught us how to do that at some point,
right?
You know, so like the thoughts we think and how we respond and how we act, it's like, it's how we were raised and how we were cultured and just whatever influenced us along the way. So if some people, you know, they feel so terrible to where, you know, they can't eat food because they need to look a certain way. Like, that's not just something people come up with on their own.
No,
you know?
No, it is along the way. And we're informed by, again, the people in our lives who are also influenced by the images that they see in mass media.
Right? I mean, I've been guilty of that too. I was a fat kid growing up. And I started martial arts when I was 18 years old, and it just completely changed my life. And I still, even as a grown man, I still kind of look at myself sometimes and I'm like, I feel kind of self-conscious, you know, like I want those 6-pack abs, but at the same time, I want that whiskey and donuts too.
No, I was looking at your, Craig, I don't know if you've been on his website, but he also makes, bourbon glasses with a nice little artwork on them.
Yeah, it's the same artwork that's on the record.
It's real. And the picture, he also has a picture of a Four Roses bottle behind it, which we have enjoyed in the studio in the past.
That's good stuff.
It is. Have you been a bourbon connoisseur or enjoyer, I guess,
for a while? I would say connoisseur, enjoyer. I'm not really snobby about it. I kind of know what I like and know what I don't like.
Have you tried Larceny, by the way?
Yes.
Do you like Larceny?
It's one of the dead soldiers we talked about that's up on my shelf.
Larceny is a nice, inexpensive, but there's something about, like, a little bit of sweetness to it that I like.
Eagle Rare is my current jam.
Eagle Rare, okay.
That's my current jam. It's, if I go to the store, Wisconsin, for some reason, they have it like $10 cheaper than Chicago does. So I've got family in Wisconsin, so when I go up there, I'm like,
get me some Eagle Rare.
Two of those.
But so when you when you're doing any of these projects, now you have this video coming out on Friday,
right? Right.
And how can people find this video?
It's going to be via YouTube and all that good stuff. But right now, I've got a. Have you ever heard of Thunderclap?
I have heard of Thunderclap.
So I've got a Thunderclap campaign right now for it. So if you go on Thunderclap and just type in my name, Eric Crowder, or I'm to the point now where you can just type in Eric, A-R-Y-K. I think I pretty much got it locked down.
Okay.
My thing will come up and you can support via Thunderclap. So you sign up and you can help spread the word in the video. But yeah, it's getting dropped on Friday And I've got an exclusive premiere with a blog called The Music Blog. Yeah. That's like the name of the blog. The Music Blog.
With an H or no H?
No H. Y E A.
It's good to know. It's important.
So, yeah, they've supported me through my last record, and they're doing an exclusive premiere on the video on Friday, but it'll be YouTube, all that good stuff on Friday.
And by the way, when you do type in Eric, you are the only thing that comes up, except for in Central Asia, an Eric or Turk, Eric, Russian, is a relatively small aqueduct supporting agriculture and providing water to inhabitants of the area.
I'm hoping in like 5 to 7 years, once I start getting some more, you know, some more clout here, I can kind of rise above that.
But it's also the origin is also found in the Germanic and Old Norse languages. I can do this all day long, but then you are third. That's not bad.
That's close enough. I'm on the first page.
I mean, the definition of the origin of the word and then you, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. It's not like any, like, you know, sites you shouldn't be visiting.
Oh, that's a shame. But but your Facebook page is however, ahead of your own website, which is ericcrowder.com. Now, have your parents ever explained why they chose this particular spelling?
It was my mom. She saw it spelled that way and just thought it was cool. She thought it was neat and said, I'm going to do that.
Right. And how was that growing up? Complicated?
Long story short, because I know we don't have all night. On my original birth certificate, it was E-R-I-C. Because my dad was like, no, I don't like that. My dad's a little bit of a traditionalist. He's from the South.
Okay.
So he was like, nope.
Okay.
So when I was in like 6th or 7th grade, I remember my mom told me, she's like, I wanted to spell it A-R-Y-K. I'm like, that's really cool. So I started writing that on all my papers at school and got in trouble. Like, that's not your name. Like, yeah, it is. That's my mom. And so when I was 16, my mom presented me with the birth certificate. She went down to the courthouse and said, hey, the doctor's never asked me how to spell it, so you need to fix this. And they fixed it free of charge.
Really?
So she presented me the birth certificate at 16 and said, this is how it should have been in the first place.
Oh, man. Now, cold callers to your phone must be so much fun. You know that, you know right away it's not a personal phone call.
Right.
As soon as you hear the...
Can I speak of Arik? Nah.
Do they ever hesitate? Can I speak to you? And then they haven't planned.
Mr. Crowder. It'll jump right to Mr. Crowder.
Is Mr. Crowder available?
Like, if they, like, is Mr. Yeah.
Yeah. No, come closer to the microphone. That's why I'm giving you that.
Pardon me.
I know, it was weird. You're like, I don't know what she's doing with
her
fingers.
I forget sometimes.
That's okay. So you grew up in...
guys like it when girls do that, though. It's
all right. Come closer. Come closer. Now, what neighborhood do you live in now that you're in Chicago?
I'm in Uptown.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned Uptown.
I've been here for 10 years now. So Chicago is, I mean, Chicago's kind of home. So when I go back to my folks live close to Zion, I know I feel totally separated from it. Like, that's where I grew up. But it's like, I have no identity with it anymore. Like, this is where I live now. Like, this is where I want to be. I want to be here. I like it here. The food's good.
I know that you have the artwork that you do, but how else do you supplement your musical career?
Other than working in music, I also work in fitness. I'm a fitness trainer.
You are? Oh, interesting. We have another fitness expert in the studio. We can combine our nutritionist with Eric Crowder. And how is it, like, the beginning of the year, is it kind of weird? Everyone's convinced they're going to change themselves?
Sort of. I used to work for a commercial gym years ago, and it was just like that. It was like that second week of January comes in, just like, it was good because it was good for business, but at the same time, just like, get away from me.
Right.
But I kind of work for myself now, so it's not too crazy like that anymore. So,
well, you mentioned abs, right? So now that I know that you are a fitness instructor and stuff, like a trainer, so can you explain to people that is something that has to work on so many levels? Whether it's, you know, the time that you can invest, the kind of nutrition, it starts in the kitchen too,
right?
Because they feel bad about themselves.
There's a saying in the fitness industry, and it holds true. Abs are made in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's true. You want that six-pack abs, you better put down that six-pack of Coors.
What about that bourbon?
Yeah, that too. That works with it too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you look at, like, these guys that are on fitness models, guys or girls, it doesn't matter. They're on fitness magazines. I guarantee you they are on a heavy, heavy diet.
Right.
Of no alcohol, no sugar, no fun, basically.
No fun, right.
The food is essentially stripped down just being straight nutrition.
Right.
Which is fine. That's what food's meant to be.
Right.
But at the same time,
straight nutrition, that would be grains. It would be, is it even grains?
I mean, you're looking at like proteins and vegetables and certain grains. Yeah.
All right.
But at the same point, like, food just doesn't become fun. And man, when you live in a city like Chicago, there is too much good grub around here to pass that on. So
I know.
I'm a proud member of the No Six Pack Club. I'm fine with that.
Well, the video that you have coming out, tell us a little bit about the images you have as far as being body positive and self-love.
So one thing I wrote this song after watching the documentary Misrepresentation. And for those people who aren't familiar with it, it's basically about how MISS representation, so how women are misrepresented in the media. There's not a lot of positive role models for women in movies and music, stuff like that. When we see things, it's mostly referred to how women look, how right. pretty you are, how, or your athletic ability. And one of the examples they give in there, and whether you agree with their politics or not, was a few years back when you had Hillary and Palin in the race at the same time. If you looked at how other politicians or, you know, talking heads talked about them, Palin was always referred to as good looking and pretty and things like that. And they kind of listened to her because she's an attractive woman. Mm-hmm. And then when you start talking about Hillary, oh, look at what she wore today. Look at the scowl on her face. You said she didn't look like this. Like, who cares what they look right. like? And you don't hear about these talking heads talk about, oh, I can't believe that guy wore that blazer color. It so right. doesn't look good on him, you know? So it doesn't make his ankles look right. You don't hear that.
No, and this is something that has come up a lot in popular culture, even yeah. like broadcasters when it comes to anchor women. And, you know, people will write to them, I saw you wear that blouse next week. Or that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I can't believe you changed your hair.
Like, bro, you got too much time on your hands.
It is.
You need to go make friends at the bar or something, man.
It's super crazy. Well, you can find Eric Crowder and all of his music at Eric Crowder, A-R-Y-K, the Nordic spelling, and yeah. or Russian, and or Asian. I love the origin of your name. I think it's remarkable. And I know that you're doing everything by hand. I know you're. I saw one of the lines in your bio is that you're not building walls, you're building bridges.
Yeah, I kind of see it like that. Like. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it a little before. As an independent artist, I'm to the point now where, like, everybody who comes to my shows, no matter what city I'm in, I get to meet all of them who actually want to shake my hand. Some people just want to leave.
Right.
Well, I get to
they
meet
have
them.
Babysitters, you know.
Yeah, right. I get yeah. to meet them, and sometimes I get to stay at fans' houses, you know.
What?
Instead of staying in a hotel, they're like, you want to just crash on my extra
I've
bed?
I've heard comics do this, too.
Yes.
I want that experience.
Saves me some bread while I'm on
the
road.
You had any weird moments, like, where you're like, this was a bad choice?
No, because it's usually cleared out far beforehand. It's not like you just kind of make plans a day of, so it's okay. usually call people the day up. But the first time I'm in a city, if I'm in a city for the first time and I don't have any friends there, it's usually a hotel.
So you were Airbnb-ing it before it was popular.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, Airbnb is yeah. definitely a way to go.
It really
helps
is.
Save a ton of bread, and it's just quick and easy.
Well, now you know how to get a musician in your house off yeah. from your couch. We're heard in 38 states, so if your gigs are coming up, you have reach here. You
yeah,
people
tell
know.
Them to email me, eric@ericcrowder.com.
And that's A-R-Y-K.
See Crowder. That tour schedule. Hey, bro, I got a spare room for you.
Yeah, get on that.
Don't make me put no lotion in a basket. We'll be all right.
Yes, please, please don't have any, any cocooned and moths of any kind in the house.
Yes, that'd be appreciated. That's always
a creep factor. Oh, we've had a great time hanging out with you, Eric. And
thanks, I appreciate you having me on.
Of course, we would love to have you back.
All right, anytime.
And looking forward to your video on Friday. That's Eric Crowder, ArykCrowder.com. Find all of his wonderful music and his bourbon glasses and T-shirts and CDs on his website. Plus, where you can find his music, which is Spotify, iTunes, Amazon. All those places. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
What's it gonna be? 'Cause I can't pretend. No, don't you wanna be more than friends? Myself that we could be more than friends. I know you think that if we move too soon.
That's Eric Crowder's Don't Let Go. Again, don't forget to go to his website at ericcrowder.com. And his name's spelled Eric, A-R-Y-K. But Lenny Schmidt's name is, you have a D in there. And
it's also spelled A-R-Y-K.
That's so strange.
Isn't that weird?
Lenny Schmidt. Yes. Lenny, I saw a picture of you on Facebook with your daughter. She was passed out in a recliner at one of the movie theaters up in the suburbs.
She was acting.
Was she really? Because yeah. I almost fell asleep in one of those recliners. Craig and I went to opening night of Star Wars at the brand new AMC theaters on Block 37.
Oh, cool.
Which if you have a chance, by the way, take your daughters there.
Okay, cool.
You have a button and the waitress comes by and just brings you whatever you need. And
Don't tell my kids that. They're so spoiled.
So good.
That's since you mentioned the theater, by the way, a video will be up tomorrow for anyone listening.
Our
video from AMC will be up tomorrow midday.
It's so great. It's my new favorite restaurant. A new restaurant.
New favorite
restaurant. That shows movies. It really is.
We love the recline. We went to Marcus Cinema over on Lake because we were out that way. And we didn't know it was a small theater, but they had the recliners. That's all. They didn't have the service. The waitresses.
This has, you know, like the hospital trays that come over your bed.
Yeah.
Like they have those kinds of trays that slide over your lap.
Right. Is there like a little bathroom thing you're sitting on too, so you don't have to get up and leave? And
no, you do have to actually remove yourself from the room.
All right, I don't know how this works. You explain it to me.
Whatever happens.
I don't know if there were tubes involved. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know how you fancy people live anymore.
It's so crazy. Lenny Schmidt is one of our favorite comics, one of my favorite comics, and an old friend. Have you been doing the cruises a lot lately?
Yeah, yes I have. I was just on a cruise. I'm in town for a whole week now, so this is cool. So I was hanging with the kids all week.
You wanted to see how the real people live with the weather?
I couldn't be happier not be traveling this week. I got friends stuck in airports everywhere right
what
now.
A nightmare. You know what? I haven't traveled in such a long time as far as like getting on the road and doing gigs. Because that panic of we're not getting where you need to go for work is the worst feeling.
Oh, it's terrible.
There's no paycheck.
There's not. And when I was coming into, when I came into O'Hare the last trip, and they had a problem in American to cancel, but this wasn't this storm. It was a previous storm, and it was somewhere else. It wasn't even here. And it was right when the weather started to get bad here because it was so nice for so long.
Yeah.
And I come into Chicago, and there's literally thousands of people sitting in O'Hare, and I felt so guilty. I'm like, excuse me, pardon me.
I made it.
Exactly where I'm going. Because I'm stepping over people. I'm sorry.
How's that resting coming out for you? Just napping on the floor?
Yeah, really? I'm so sorry. Sad. You don't look very comfortable.
Have you had, because I traveled the first polar vortex that we had here 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was trying to catch a flight to, do you remember, Craig? That's when we bought the studio slippers because it was so cold. We needed to have like extra shoes to let our feet thaw out in the studio. It was brutally cold. I had to take a picture of Craig just like wrapped in like every piece of clothing.
Like his eyes are sticking out.
Yes, it was.
Like Kenny from South Park.
That was awful.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Oh.
That whole day was, but the studio slippers are really nice.
We still have our studio slippers.
Uh-huh. Right on.
I had to catch a flight. I was going to perform at the Tropicana in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
For Bob, what's his name? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, that guy is
a little weird.
Okay.
But he was the kind of guy, if you don't make it the first night, you're pretty much fired for the week. He's that kind of guy. So I had two phones going with United Airlines trying to get a flight out because all the flights were being canceled.
Right.
And I caught the last flight out at 6 a.m. The first flight, the first but last. You know what I'm saying? Like the first in the morning but last flight that was taking off for the rest of the day out of Chicago because it was so cold they didn't know what effect it would have. It had never been that cold at O'Hare Airport.
Right.
They didn't know what effect it would have on the engines. And I remember people like being all excited on the flight that we were the last flight out and I go, I feel like Richie Valens all of a sudden.
Yeah, this is so
the big bopper.
La 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 bomba. It's going through your head.
Yeah, the big bopper, Buddy Holly, high-fiving. Yeah. I'm like, this isn't
not very high-five worthy.
I'm not feeling good about this.
Well, the last time I had a show canceled because of weather, actually, ironically, was here when I was coming to Chicago, and it was Zany's, and you covered it. This was maybe 3 years ago.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, because I was a panic calling Bert, going, "Dude, I'm not going to make it. I don't know." It was a Tuesday. I go, "I can't make it. I don't know what I'm going to do." And that was when I started flying the day before, no matter what.
Yes.
Always.
Well, I always, Kathleen Madigan told me one time to always take the first flight out, so I always catch like 6 a.m. flights.
Right.
And when I'm coming back, to Chicago next Sunday, but it's like midnight, so I'll get home at like 6 in the morning on Monday.
Okay.
Just to like, because I know anything can happen between now and then, and I have to be back for my show. I know. I was on a.
That'll be post Super Bowl flying home traffic too.
I know. Is LA going to be crazy? They're not.
It won't be that crazy.
It's the Broncos and the somebody
else. Super Bowl's up north in LA, so or not in LA, but up north in California.
Is it really?
Yeah,
I didn't even know
up
that.
Up in the Niners Stadium, right? Their new Niners Stadium.
And you guys are getting a team in LA, yes?
Whatever.
I know it's not the Bears.
I care less if there's a team there. For now, we're getting a team.
Right. Everyone's sort of casual. Let's just go to LA for a while.
It's like they're all excited out there, and they're like, I know, I don't get it. And God, they really screwed over those St. Louis people so bad. It's like the NFL's terrible. They're really bad. And they go, the NFL's like, here's what we need for you to stay. St. Louis goes, here's everything you need. And they're like, okay, see you later. And they left anyway. And didn't even mention the fact that they came through and did all this stuff and got at the stadium and the licensing. And I mean, the people in St. Louis are still standing there going, exactly what you.
That was so, he was really good there. Did you? That was like all the way up to the line.
I've learned it. I've learned that skill. I've learned that.
Yeah.
I do it on purpose sometimes.
I've done it several times this show already. And people, they know or they don't know. I'm not entirely
well,
sure.
Well, I do it in the.
Right to the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. Go ahead and IMDb Lenny Schmidt, and you'll be like, he was on True Blood. I totally remember him from that Mormon show. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by actor and comedian Lenny Schmidt.
Hello.
Who is from Chicago.
Yes.
Gets to come back and visit us, hang out with his daughters. Amazing daughters, by the way. How are they doing?
They're doing good, man. They're Anna's 14 now, and Lily's 12, and she's taller than all of us.
I feel like they were just 9 and 11 not too long ago.
Lily wanted to come tonight. She was all mad at me. I told her, I go, you can't school.
I know. I tried for you for a Friday, but you're leaving town again, or you're busy, or something else.
You did try for Friday. I'm leaving Friday. I'm flying out Friday morning.
Yeah, so that's what happened. Yeah, sorry, Lily.
Well, I told her next time.
Daddy's fault.
My fault. Maybe next time.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
You know what we're doing? Because one of the things we're going to talk about that auction today, which leads to this comedy class. And the comedy show, which is the first weekend in March, which Lily's going to be in, as a matter of fact. Can I talk about it now, or what do you want
to
do?
Yes, you can do it right now.
It's basically a fundraiser. Here's the deal. It's a fundraiser for a friend of mine whose wife has stage 4 cancer, and she's really in rough shape. And she got to a point where she did well, and they're like, hey, you're getting better. And then it went completely the opposite way. So now she's in a hospice, and he had to quit his job. It's the Faison Family Fundraiser is the name of the auction.
And where is this going to be
held? It's going to be at the Tap House in Westmont this weekend, Saturday from 4 to 8. I'm going to pull it up on my phone to make sure. Also, if you go to my website, LennySchmidt.com, the front page is all the documentation from what's going on this weekend. So it'll tell you exactly about the auction. There's a silent auction this weekend from 4 to 8. It's at the Tap House, which is on Cass Avenue. It's 6010 South Cass Avenue in Westmont. It's the Tap House Grill. It's a silent auction from 4 to 8. There's no charge to get in. There's no cover charge or anything like that. There'll be music all day. There'll be different people popping in and out. I will not be able to be at the auction, which is one of the reasons I came in here today, and one of the reasons I came up with the idea to do. I used to teach comedy and improv to kids in L.A.
Right.
And now when I work on cruise ships, I occasionally work with kids and do improv as well. So I thought, why not auction off a class for the fundraiser? So they're going to auction off 10 spots in a class that Zanies has been nice enough to step forward in Rosemont. Cindy is going to help me. She's going to let me teach the class there on the weekend of March 4th and 5th.
And how much of it's a silent auction for
It's a silent auction that each class is going to start, for each student starts, the bid starts at $200.
How many classes? How many weeks?
It's only a weekend. It's a weekend intensive.
A whole weekend?
Yeah, it's one whole weekend intensive.
How many hours?
It's all together. It's 12, almost 9 hours of class,
all right.
And then
I'm putting
the 2 hour
right now.
Show.
I'm putting,
putting a bid right now.
No, I am.
All right.
How do I put a bid in?
It's. I'm going to tell you right now. You can go to Faison Family Fundraiser at gmail.com is our email. Mm-hmm. The bidding is this weekend. If you send an email to that email, they'll give you more information. Basically, we're going to take the top 10 bids.
Okay.
And we're going to go from there. We're starting the bids at $200, which is similar to what I did in California. It's about a $350 value.
I'm bidding right now.
Okay. Okay.
All right. 210.
Okay. 210. Look
all
at
right,
you.
Then.
All right. Good.
For Griffin. This would be great.
It is. It's and one thing I do. This
I'm so excited to have Griffin do an improv class.
It'd be one thing I like to do. Like Lily's been doing this. My kids have been taking this class for 7 years.
220. I'll bid myself.
Okay.
Okay.
Look at you upbidding against yourself. That's good. I like that.
Anybody else?
225.
Oh, here we go. And he's buying it for Griffin, by the
way. Everybody, why not? Sure. Well, Griffin's got a lot of friends over here.
Yeah.
One of the things I do is look, because I searched, I looked at Second City teaches classes to kids, and everybody teaches classes to kids. And what I do is a little bit different, where I work with the kids, and we cover everything: improv, stand up, sketch. We go through a lot of different things.
Yes.
And I kind of find what each like. You know, this as a performer, everybody's good at certain things. There's certain people that are good improvisers, certain people are good stand ups, certain people are good at acting
and or writing.
Right, exactly. So I find, in fact, and every kid writes. First of all, they write three bits. There's three things they do. They all write a top 10 list. They all write
I'm
a story,
so
and they do. And what I do is I take all 10 of the kids. I take what they do best. We put it into a show that's called Kids Alive, and it's a live show. We'll do it at Zany's that night at 5 o'clock the Sunday, the 5th, March 5th. And parents get in for $10. Kids get in. You bring kids in for $5 because it's a kids show written by kids,
right,
for kids. We encourage other parents to bring their kids to the show. So if you're a 9-year-old,
so the class is March 4th and 5th with the graduation show. Not graduation, but the whole. Yeah,
the whole show itself.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I want to double check the
fifth
dates,
and sixth,
sure,
maybe.
Right.
Maybe it's a fifth and sixth because Sunday's on the sixth. You know why I know
you're
that?
You're right. That's it.
Craig,
that's
why
right.
do I know that? Fight for Air Climb coming up on March 6th. The American Lung Association is proud to present the Fight for Air Climb at the Presidential Towers. You can climb 1, 2, 3 or all 4 towers. Go to the fightforairclimb.org for more information. But that means I'll be coming. Okay, this is how that week's going to look, Craig. Are you ready? Okay, so I'll be flying to San Diego on Monday doing the Marine boot camp at Camp Pendleton with CARM. I'll get back on Friday. Saturday, I'll be performing in Kohler, Wisconsin. And then Sunday morning, I'm doing the Fight for Air Climb. And then Sunday night, I'll be coming to Zany's in Rosemont to see the graduation show for Kids Alive.
And Monday, you're going to be in a hospital somewhere.
But this is how I live my
IV
life.
Stuck in your life. I know.
This is how I play.
It is. Well, then, last time I was here, you were doing Cochran show or something in the morning.
I'm doing Cochran tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
I'll be
always
out on Steve Cochran show at 6:50 a.m. I'll be out in about 7 hours.
That's insane. Yeah, you don't sleep.
Hello.
You're like a robot.
That's not really that.
All right. I'm starting to figure it out now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is March 6th is the show. It is March 6th is the show at 5 o'clock at Zany's.
I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, the doors are open at 4:30, and it's a lot of fun for kids, and it's basically the kids getting up and being funny. One of the rules I follow really strictly in my class, and I make sure parents in L.A. sometimes had a problem with this, is I never tell a kid they're not funny. I never say don't do it.
What do the parents in L.A. do?
Well, it's just like a version of Little League.
Yeah, I remember those
class.
People. Yeah.
So I would,
I'm looking at you, Norwood Park.
A lot of times I would tell parents, I go, I would rather you didn't come to the class. You know what I mean? I'd rather you can drop your kid off. And at the time,
were they
saying
my kid's funnier?
Well, they would. You could tell parents that wrote bits for their kids because they would come in with a bit and you would read it and you go, oh, this is obviously written by your father.
Griffin can do his own.
Yeah. But that's why they write in the class. We write in the class. So I know where they're going, what they're doing. So when they come in the next, and this will be different than intensive, it's just 2 days. The other class that did was 6 weeks, an hour a night. This is going to be 2 straight days of, a whole afternoon, 12 to 4. And then we'll feed the kids. Kids will eat. We'll eat them, feed them food and all that
There's
stuff.
There's good food at the Zany's there.
Yeah, well, we're going to make sure they're taken care of. I don't know what's. There's, Cindy's been very helpful, and I have a friend that's helping me. Michelle's helping me put up the class because we're doing this for Paul's family. Mm-hmm. So we thought we'd put the whole thing together. So.
And how do you know Paul?
I actually went to high school with Paul.
Yeah.
And we played football together. And Paul, I've known him for years, and now we've been friends for years because of Facebook.
Yeah,
and he's always been a great guy. He's a family man. He's got
how many
two kids, little, very young little boy.
How old is she?
He's got a daughter. You're killing.
No,
me
not now. The kids.
The
son, how old is he?
Paul is younger than me. Okay. So Paul's got to be maybe late 40s.
All right. So his wife is very young and is now in hospice.
Yeah,
we're talking about this comedy class, and we talk about these things. We do these fundraisers. We do silent auctions, and it always seems like don't bother me again. Here's a family man whose wife is in hospice.
Right.
She is, possibly going to be saying goodbye to her family. We're trying to do something. And by the way, what a beautiful way to say we love you. The community loves you. Here are people who support you and your family to come out to this event at the Tap Room in Westmont on this Saturday.
Yeah. And there's I got to be honest with you. I got involved because because I knew Paul and the fact that Paul's the father and he's going with, he had to quit his job. I mean, he takes care of the kids and takes care of her and he doesn't work anymore. And you start to think about that stuff.
And you start feeling alone, the world, and you feel things very intensely, why is this happening to me? Because at some point,
you're scared too.
Yeah.
You think, you got two kids and there's a lot going through your head. I got to say, everybody from, the Bolingbrook community, it's from Bolingbrook, is where we went to high school. Everybody in that community in my class, the 80 class of 83, class of 84, a lot of us are still very close. And a lot of people have really stepped up here and done a lot of great great things here. There's been the coach Acton, the former football coach, stepped in and donated some stuff. There's a foursome at Boughton Golf Ridge. There's the Bolingbrook Golf Club has a foursome that they gave.
Right.
There's a lot of different things that everybody in Bolingbrook
stepped up. And Boughton's really generous, by the way, whenever there are events like this.
Yeah.
Because they believe in their community and the people who live there.
Well, Paul's been very blessed. There's a lot of great people, and I got involved because of the great people that are there involved. Eric Johnson.
Does he talk faster than I do?
Because
I'm trying to keep up, Craig. Yeah. Can you tell if he talks faster than I do? Esmeralda, what would you say? Faster than me? Because I'm going to have to say faster.
Esmeralda, she hasn't looked in. She's able to listen.
You talk really fast, though.
I do?
Mm-hmm.
I know. But am I talking that fast?
I talk too fast.
I mean, I can understand you because I also think I talk fast. Yeah. So.
I should slow down. I used to do commercial auditions, and they'd be like, all right, that's great. Let's slow it down.
Right.
Because you just did a 30-second spot in 4 seconds.
Well, you know what? You got the information. Do you know what it means? We process language at a rate that is hard for us to slow down. It's a language processing thing.
Okay.
They actually did a study on this.
I mean, we're smarter, right?
I'm trying not to say that.
I'm saying it.
I can say it
because I'm leaving. You got to come back here tonight.
It's a thing where we just process the language a lot quicker than most people, and it's not necessarily being smarter. It's just the words to us breeze through. For you guys, it takes longer.
I'm just saying.
I just looked it up in the dictionary. It says smarter.
Yeah. It does a little bit.
It does a little bit.
So that
event, if you did the commercial that quickly, you could do it twice then, right? So that would be more valuable.
I could. How many times have you heard that? I could do the side effects. Side effects mean?
The legal disclaimer.
I could do all that.
Oh,
yeah.
That's always
Don't
the
do
one.
That NIBRU because it's against the law. Stay away from the animals.
So the event is coming up this Saturday night.
Afternoon. We did 4 to 8. 4 to 8. So it's like late afternoon, early evening. We kind of did it in the middle. And then it's followed by half-price appetizers at the bar, and there's a lot of stuff
going
on.
The tap room has some great appetizers, too.
They were just there. Their food's great. I brought my kids, of course, who got food out of me. And
I think they have like a great tater tot like nacho thing.
I saw that. I tried to avoid that as much as it looks good.
Don't. You deserve it.
You know what? I can't say that every day.
You talk so fast, you metabolize it. More with Lenny Schmidt when we come back. And we have to find out what Craig did this weekend in Joliet. So about the same area, around Bowling.
Yeah, not too
thereabouts.
Far away.
Yeah. Were you at the Rialto? Is that where you went? Fancy. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. This is my measured, slow speaking voice.
WGN Chicago.
But now we got a scrap. Takes a couple of right hands.
The Chicago Blackhawks.
Hawks win!
The Carolina Hurricanes.
With the Go Blackhawks.
I'm John White. Troy Murray and I will have the puck drop for you at 6:30.
The Blackhawks play tonight on Blackhawks Radio 720 WGN.
Blackhawk games on Blackhawks Radio 720 WGN are presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Do you have a painting to sell that is at least 50 years old? Call me, the Antique Lady, at 773-262-1000. Take a look around your home. That old painting on the wall may not be a masterpiece and may not be in perfect condition, but it could be valuable. A Glenview resident received a substantial check for an original watercolor she had planned to sell at a garage sale. A Chicago couple was pleasantly surprised when we purchased their oil painting, which needed restoration to both the canvas and frame. Call 773-262-1000 to schedule an appointment and receive a fair price for your artwork. BJ Antiques has been at 6901 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago for over 30 years. Whether your painting is in the basement, attic, or on the wall, please give me, the Antique Lady, a call at 773-262-1000.
Here's something I thought I'd never say. I love doing the dishes. Hi, it's Lindsay, producer of the Mr. Fix-It Show, and I have Tom Jenke of Builder Supply Outlet here in my new kitchen.
Lindsay, I'm so glad you're happy with your remodel.
My new kitchen from Builder Supply Outlet is a dream. Gorgeous cabinets, beautiful countertops, and I saved a lot of money.
Our outlet prices are 40 to 60% off.
Plus, you have such a wide variety to choose from, and your designers laid out the perfect kitchen.
Our kitchen designers are the best in the business, and now we can get it installed for you.
Your team made such exact measurements. Everything fit and installed perfectly, and so quick. Now, you want to help me do the dishes?
I'll dry.
Builder Supply Outlet, just 5 miles east of the Oakbrook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road in Broadview.
Or visit buildersupplyoutlet.com.
Quality and savings are what you get at Builder Supply Outlet.
Join us March 10th at the Economist Innovation Forum and learn from senior business executives leading the companies of the future. Save 15% with code WGN15. To buy your ticket, visit innovation.economist.com or the events page at WGNradio.com.
Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN-TV News at 10. Was that slow enough, Esmeralda?
It's going to be like a five-hour show if we go any slower, though.
I don't know the middle ground at all.
That was like slow and sexy. That was almost like...
I'm trying to find my pace now. Craig, you went to...
Now it's creepy Stepford-ish.
No, I'm having flashbacks. Patty, no.
You went to the Rialto this weekend, I hear, to see a show for... William Shatner.
Yes, I saw William Shatner.
See what I'm doing?
Bill?
This is actually the transition.
Shatner. Bill. Yeah. Yes. It's Shatner's World, We Just Live in It, is the name of his one-man show.
Okay.
It was at the Rialto Theater.
Does he know really? We don't? We don't choose to? Like, it's an accident. It's like a byproduct.
Yeah. No, he lets you.
He lets us?
He allows us to live in it.
It's sabotage.
It's a really nice theater, first and foremost. The Rialto is really lovely.
Did you see the chandeliers in the lobby?
Yeah.
Like, those are spectacularly gorgeous.
Did you visit anything else in the lovely city of Joliet?
Esmeralda's hometown.
It was a quick... It was a quick
you didn't
internet.
See her parents?
No, that's good.
Her parents were waiting for you.
I would have loved to stop by.
They're just later. Like, hey. Oh, he's
I would have loved to visit the Leon.
Her dad had the latest from the Food Network.
That's
totally
great.
Ready to go. He likes to cook recipes from the without writing anything down.
Yeah, no, he just looks at them.
Just whips it up.
That's what I watches. Do, but I can. Can he do it?
Sometimes.
Christmas was a success.
It was.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Well, then good for him. That's great.
Yeah.
How was Bill?
Yeah, I could have brought them over to the Shatner thing. Yeah. That would have been really good.
They should have called it that, the
did
Shatner
he sing?
Thing.
Did he sing?
He did. He sang at the end. He did a couple songs off of his CDs. He kind of danced. He's 82 now. So
is he really?
Yeah.
I don't think of him
around,
as 82.
But not as much as probably he used to.
Okay.
And he's funny and it's good and he like throws to clips of him doing some stuff that's really interesting.
Oh, that's key.
Yeah.
Okay, so TJ Hooker, does he show himself sliding across the hood of the car?
He does not do that.
Why would you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Craig, this seems like such a great
well, and that's the thing.
Opportunity.
The way that Shatner speaks, as we all know, he kind of mumbles some stuff now just because maybe he's a little bit older. So
but
I
he
stuff.
Spoke so,
so well.
Distinctly.
Yes.
Does he talk like that for the whole 2 hours?
The entire 2 hours.
Oh,
it's a straight,
I don't know if I could do that.
It's a straight 2 hours without an intermission of any kind. So I'm impressed with the guy.
I think that's you can be impressed. I'm going to go ahead and give a theater note. Go ahead and give the audience a break. Also, you give the theater an opportunity to sell beverages.
Yeah. You know what? Hateful Eight even had an intermission, man.
Did it really?
Yeah, it's got one built right into the movie. It's great.
I haven't seen an intermission in a movie since.
It's a great movie. I saw it. It's the best Tarantino movie I've ever seen.
Elliot could not sit through it, by the way, Craig, our very own.
Really?
So,
I loved it.
What's the last movie you remember having an intermission?
Well, that.
Before that.
Oh, I don't remember any
The Right
movie.
Stuff. Do you remember that?
Wow, really? The astronaut movie?
It did. It had at least at the Pickwick, it did. Yes.
I don't remember that because so many movies they make now are 2 or 3 hours long.
Can you see the running order for The Right Stuff? Yes. Are people complaining about my articulation?
No.
You're starting to talk more like William Shatner.
People are
as the
loving
show goes along.
I am
the show
tonight trying
so much.
This is not
it is one of our strongest shows.
This is somebody else.
Slash fast. First it's fast, then it's sexy, then it's Shatner. Now it's all mixed up. Now it's just creepy. Now it's uncomfortable.
And that's how I like to play.
I don't know why you're getting so upset.
Oh, there it is. It's not Shatner anymore, is it? It's not.
No, it's not.
It's fine. That guy.
Yeah, it's that guy.
It's your best. Dude. That's your best impression.
What, the walk-in guy?
The walk-in.
Wow, that wasn't totally walk-in yet.
It's moving into it.
You're right.
I need more cowbell.
I need more cowbell? Oh, my God. You guys.
Oh, yeah,
that's pretty good.
You're right. I'm not doing walk-in.
I love it.
It's the pace, not the inflection.
Right.
What were we saying? Can you find
I
the running
William
time?
Shatner.
Yes.
I went to a show. You know,
2 hours, no pee time.
He pokes a lot of fun of himself, though, so that's nice. It's kind of nice that he doesn't take himself very seriously.
Does he mention Leonard Nimoy at all?
There's a photo of Leonard Nimoy. He doesn't actually say the guy's name.
Does he know it's there?
He puts it up.
That would be great.
If there.
He's on stage.
Who put
like,
that up there?
The tech guy's like,
why?
How much
Spock? Why are you on?
the stage for my one-man show. Why?
That, the tech guy is just like messing with
That's
him.
That's hilarious. That's very funny.
I like that.
Dude, $20 if you go put this out there right now.
I'd give 80.
He throws an interview, too, with the other famous Star Trek actor. Why am I blanking on his name?
He's Takei?
Also Professor
Takei?
X.
No,
Professor Xavier and Patrick Stewart. There's an interview that I guess Patrick Stewart and William Shatner did together where Shatner's kind of talking about Star Trek, and Stewart says that if he were remembered for just that, he'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, we're supposed to take away from it that William Shatner decides in that moment that he's happy too with his playing.
Oh, that's how he learned the lesson?
Yeah, that's how he learned it from Patrick Stewart. And that moment just seemed to me to be kind of out of place in the whole show.
Right, because you should actually,
yeah,
you should be grateful always.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been something they had to convince you of.
Well, the odds of there being a video of Shatner doing an interview with anyone else from the Star Trek cast are almost zero.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
Like, zero. There's so many horrible stories from that cast.
And you would think that show ran for a long time, by the way.
And it didn't, right?
What was it? 2 years?
Two? Yeah.
It was 2 years. Do you know who saved that show, who made it happen?
Who?
Lucille Ball.
Really? How was that, pal?
She had the entire archive of, it was an RKO, she had RKO Studios.
Right.
And that
was
one of the properties. Yeah. So she decided that was something that should be made.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's pretty amazing.
Real quick text from the 269. It's such a nice show you're doing right now to be able to understand you both. Thank you. Makes the show much better.
You are incredibly.
It's a lot of periods in
the
middle.
I'm not done.
Text.
Welcome.
That's great. I love it.
A lot of periods in the middle. That's my entire life. So here's the thing. So William Shatner does a one-man show. Who else is doing one-man shows that, like Christopher, like people usually do one-man shows if they are. And that is actually a remarkable person. He's had a career that we have all been a part of. Yeah. We actually are in his world. My favorite, have you ever heard the clip of him doing I don't know if it was like a book, to like an audio book, and he argues with the director about how to say sabotage.
Yes.
It's a fantastic clip.
That was the best.
He says sabotage. And he says, because that's how they say it in Canada.
Okay.
Now I can't say sabotage.
Yeah. But how did he say it?
Sabotage.
No, it's funny. It's sabotage, Bill. No, it's not.
It's funny you mention that. Actually, walking in, Chris Duffy, who does a lot of our imaging here, he mentioned that clip, and then a couple people behind us in line heard that, and everyone started talking about that. Apparently, that's a big Shatner thing. People love...
And he did not address it?
No, he did not. Oh,
well, I think Johnny B actually made that a big thing in Chicago. He played that audio over and over.
Oh, that could be right. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Over and over and over again.
Because it goes on forever.
He's yelling at the guy. And that was before we all had like cell phones. It was because they were still running the audio. The recording.
Yeah, if you wanted to make something trend back then, that was work. You know what I mean? You really had to get the...
You did.
Yeah, I mean, you had to get it on the air. You had to have time. I mean, now, you know, my daughter could do the same thing. And it's just...
Without naming names, in your experience being on television and film, have you had experiences that were, oh, this guy's a jerk? And you don't... No names. Not on the air. I'm just wondering if you've been lucky enough to just have really good experiences with stars. Because you've been on Bones.
I've been pretty lucky. Most of the people I work with, the cast. Well, you know what? Did I ever tell you? I worked. I've been lucky. Everybody I worked with has been very cool. In fact, you know who was really from the Big Love show?
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. Did I tell you we'd shot it in an actual hardware store?
That's so cool.
Well, there was actually people shopping. And people would walk up and ask Bill Paxton questions, and he would take them over to the tire department and walk them through.
That's
and
so cute.
I mean, yeah. So I mean, it was like it didn't bother him for a second. There was no, don't you know who I am? There was none of that. It was like,
yeah, I've always, because he always seems to, when he does a role, and he also directs a lot of stuff too. He seems to just be like happy to be there.
Yeah, he was, and you know what? Who else is really cool? Stephen Moyer from True Blood was great. You would think that he would be a difficult guy to deal with.
Yeah, he's beautiful.
He's great, and I mean, everybody I've worked with has been, and he's extremely talented. He's like really, he's a pianist. He played piano in our episode. I mean, the guy's, he's a song and dance man too, from, you know, that's his thing, from England. So,
yeah.
So everybody, I've been lucky. I'd even worked Desperate Housewives and I got along.
Oh, come on. Terry Hatcher. A little bit.
I didn't spend a lot of time with Terry.
I spent time
with Ava and I spent time with.
Ava was cool?
Ava was awesome.
Oh, there you go. We'll take that.
And then, and Bill Macy's wife. I always forget her name.
Anna Paquin. No. Oh, Bill. That's Stephen Moyer's wife.
Yeah,
was which was Vampire
She's
Bill.
She's a great actress.
That's
She's
why
really
I'm blending
great.
Them all. I feel terrible. Felicia, Felicity Huffman.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great. She's really
Is that
great.
Right? Anybody?
Is that right?
No? Okay. Yeah. We're taking it as a yes across the board.
Yeah, look at you. Yeah. But everybody was great. So, I've been lucky. Every show I worked on, everybody was really, really. The one that was weird was the very first thing I ever did in Hollywood was a movie called Think Big. And it starred the Barbarian Brothers. Do you remember who they were?
No.
Okay. This is way back in the late 80s. The Barbarian Brothers were these two giant muscle weightlifting guys that starred in a movie called DC Cab the crazy guy. The guy that goes, Mr. T, first of all.
We had his daughter in the other night, by the way.
Oh, did you really?
Erica,
all right.
Yes.
He was in DC Cab. DC Cab was a cult movie for a while.
Yes.
And the Barbarian
crazy
Brothers.
The guy you are thinking of is Gary Busey.
That's it. Gary Busey. Was the lead, one of the leads in that movie. So
Trump's spokesperson, that guy.
Yeah, that's gross. It's fantastic. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But the Barbarian Brothers were in that. And then they got their own movie, and it was just a train wreck. It was
called Think Big?
It was called Think Big.
Oh, Think
And it
Big.
Starred the Barbarian
Think
Brothers.
Think Bank would have been okay.
And Martin Mull and Richard Mull. And Richard Mull played Bull from Night Court.
Yes.
But the Barbarian Brothers were just...
Such jerks.
They were, and they were just these two... metalheads or
and where are
heads.
They now? They mess with Lenny.
That was the only movie they had.
They got nowhere.
They were the only guys who were jerks to anybody. Everybody else I've worked with has been pretty cool. Well, and it's funny, they had the least talent out of maybe everyone I ever worked with in my life.
All right, before we go to the break, I want to ask you that before we go to the news, have you seen a lot of the movies? Because I want to talk about this after the news, the Academy Awards and
Oh,
SAG.
I haven't seen many, but we can talk about all of
it. Let's talk about all of it because I have a question.
I'm
sad. Everyone.
I could put it in the
I know. Room. I've watched all my screeners. I have something to say about that. Here with everything you need to know is Esmeralda Leon. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Lenny Schmidt. He's an actor, comedian, and we are both going through some of the shows for our consideration for the Screen Actors Guild Awards coming up over the weekend. We only have until the 29th to vote, you know.
Woohoo!
Are you watching any of it? Because this is my first year. I'm like sitting down and like going through all of it.
I can't. I travel so much, it's hard for me to keep up with a lot of them. Like, I just recently took my kids to see, I saw three movies this week.
Yes.
And
what'd you see?
I saw Hateful Eight, which is I loved. Hateful Eight.
You took the daughters?
Did not take the daughters. I went on that alone. Let's clarify that.
Just curious.
Then when I'm in town now, I take one night out with one daughter, one night with the other. So we go out to dinner and a movie and do whatever they want to do. And Lily wanted to go see Daddy's Home, so we saw that.
How was that?
It was pretty funny.
I thought it's a great premise.
It was okay.
It's Mark
Wahlberg with no shirt on, which he's like in every movie, which is, I'm sure you're very happy about that.
Sure.
Will Ferrell was pretty funny in the movie. Mm-hmm. It kind of dragged a little bit. It seemed like there was a lot of funny stuff there. Bill Burr's in it at the back end.
Okay.
So it's got a good message.
Screaming, no doubt.
Yeah, actually, yeah, he does a little screaming from Bill Burr.
He screams.
He does what
he
does.
Screams a lot.
Yeah, he does. He got a little cranky. So, but it was good. It wasn't bad. It's got a nice message too. It's got a whole father, ex-father, new father type of message in kids. So, so that's not bad. And
do they have a new father? The kids?
The
kids?
Well, yeah,
your kids.
Oh, mine? No, they don't. No,
all right,
no.
So they're not.
There's none of that going on.
All right.
And then the other movie I saw was what's it called? A boy? The boy? A boy?
No.
The boy?
No idea.
A boy.
Uh-uh.
It just came out. It's a horror thing.
What?
The Boy.
The Boy?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Anna wanted to go see two nights ago.
And how was that?
She immediately apologized when the movie was over. She's like, Dad, I'm really sorry. This was a real waste of 2 hours. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, it happens. You pick
was
a
that
bad
with
movie.
Or without the recliners?
That was without. Even worse. So we didn't get the recliner. It was a last minute decision. I go, what do you want to go see? And she's like, let's go see The Boy or A Boy or whatever. And I go, okay. And we go and we saw it. And I'm like, oh,
what is out besides, I mean, Star Wars is dominating every screen in the world.
Well, Hateful Eight, what's the other thing that just passed Star Wars? There's another big movie that just...
I don't think anything because of the blizzard. Nothing is passing Star Wars. I think Revenant came out this weekend.
Revenant was one big one that passed him on a weekend a couple weekends ago.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's probably
his
opening
weekend. The Revenant, since it's nominated and it won the Golden
Revenant
Globe and everything.
Revenant has passed Star Wars?
Yes.
Just for the weekend.
$16 million compared to $14 million. That's the weekend gross, not total gross.
All right.
Yeah.
I spoke to did you hear Roger just hate on Star Wars? And he was very happy Matt Bubala let him. I guess Matt's not that impressed either. Have you seen Star Wars?
Yes, I loved it.
So did I.
I loved every minute of it.
Me too.
I went nuts. I made the mistake of going to see it a month after it came out. So it was in because I was on a ship. I was gone.
Why is that a mistake?
It's here's why it's a mistake. Because I was in a theater that's full of people. Well, when Hansel,
they'd all seen it?
No, I don't know if they saw it or not, but it's not opening weekend.
Are you ruining anything?
No, I'm not. But I can say this clearly.
Spoilers.
It's not a spoiler in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
When Han Solo comes on the screen, when certain things come on the screen that you remember, I'm like, yeah! And when I saw the Millennium Falcon for the first time, I'm like, yes! And I'm the only guy in the theater screaming. I'm like, oh, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm so, and when I saw
no one else has the same excitement.
And my daughter's like, Dad, shut up. I'm like, no, I'm so worked up.
I was like that. I was, every time something big happened,
R2-D2
with the, taking the tarp off of him.
Oh, all of it. Oh. Even when General Leia shows up and then Han sees her for the first time, I'm like, it was.
You're done.
I got a little
emotional. Yeah, a little bit.
I loved every moment of it. Yeah, I loved the whole movie.
I loved it. I loved Rey. I loved Finn. We were talking on Friday night, by the way. I posted this after the show, Craig. You know, people are complaining that there aren't enough Rey action figures. Do your daughters play with like action figures? They're a little bit older, so they're
not that.
But do they, like when they were growing up, do they have Barbies? Do they have?
Like Lily was into all that. Okay. Lily could be in her own little. She would play by herself, and she would make different worlds.
But did she need the action figures? Because here was we were talking about people being angry that there weren't enough Rey action figures. I was sitting here and I thought, but I had more fun being Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Rather than having I had the doll and I wanted the doll, but running around, like pretending I could lift stuff and use, you know, block bullets. Like that was being Wonder Woman.
Yeah, no,
being
my daughter's Wonder never, Woman. Lily never did that. Did exactly that. That's what she did. What she used to do, I don't know why she would do this, but we'd go shopping and she had something about the paper plate aisle. Where she could go in there and stack plates and make this little world. And we literally could turn the corner and look at her. And she would be down there by herself talking to herself and doing stuff. And she would see me and stop. And she'd be like, what? She didn't need action figures. She would just create her own environment.
Yes.
Like improv. You know what I mean? Like a whole and improvise this little world around her and really get into it.
Well, there's something weird about teaching your kids that if you don't own this thing, you can't play that game. Like you don't get to be that. And you do. You can be that.
That's weird because I remember even as a young kid growing up, the stuff we played outside.
Yeah.
You know, we did kick the can and stuff like that, the games that you just played out to all hours of the night.
I tried to pretend that I was Bionic Woman. I could jump, you know, and I could run really fast, but I would make the noise.
Yeah.
I could run really slow, but it was really, really fun. I mean,
the slow motion run.
Yeah, I mean, and look, face it, we're watching movies and television, and then we also need the items. We're already like buying into it.
Yeah, right.
You know, so that was something that caught my attention over the weekend. But you know, there's also what people are talking about in Hollywood and nationally and internationally about the Academy Awards being too white, being so white, and now watching some of the screeners that we get. The movies that have come out, Brooklyn, I've seen The Big Short and The Steve Jobs Story. It's really, they're so smug. The movies are like so, they are so white.
Yeah.
It's a little, I'm bored to tears with some of these. Brooklyn's cute, but it's a woman who moves to the United States for various reasons from Ireland.
Oh, I've seen a million clips for this. The Irish
so
girl,
cute.
Right?
Yeah, very cute.
Right.
But I'm watching it, Craig, and I'm like, I have to write my mother's story. My mother's story is, I mean, like, there's a lot more, like, a lot of heaviness to it. My mom said, talk to me first. And I'm like, I don't think you realize how an adaptation works.
Right, right.
It's not. It's a little of that, and it's a little of me.
I saw Brooklyn. I really like that one, actually.
It's cute.
It was nice.
Well, because she marries an Italian guy Brooklyn.
She marries an Italian in New York, so okay. I liked it a lot.
If you have not seen the movie, Lenny, it is a sweet film. She comes to the United States and works in retail, selling gloves at a Macy's type store, or Marshall Fields or whatever. And, you know, here's what's hard for me is that like people find her accent adorable. She meets an Italian guy because he likes it. Irish girls. And he hangs out at the Irish club and it's all very like, it's all the conflict. The stakes are not very high.
You're right. That's how high are those stakes?
Right.
I like Irish girls. What's your problem?
I mean,
but then she moves back to Ireland.
She doesn't move back. She has to go back for a particular
reason.
She goes
back to Ireland. She might stay, but she's not sure. She's got to really figure that out.
And does he stay? And he stays in Brooklyn.
He stays in Brooklyn.
Yeah, of course.
He's
I
got to find another Irish girl.
So we can't give you the story, but it, like the but the conflict, the stakes are so skewed. You're like, really? That you did that? Now you should do this and go back and do the other thing. It's just, I don't know. It's cute.
Yeah, it's not exactly Years a Slave, which is like.
But okay, so let's talk about the like when we were growing up, Amadeus, The Color Purple, Gandhi, The Killing Fields. I mean, like some of the movies that we grew up with.
Those are deep films. Yeah, those, you know.
Like the movies in the 80s, Ordinary People.
Yeah.
Like even going before that, some of the movies that are Academy Award movies, this year's movies, I don't see any of it being something I go, I can't, when I see that on television, I got to drop my remote. As Nick D calls it. Nick DeGilia calls it a remote dropper. None of these remote droppers.
I think a lot of it's I haven't seen Revenant.
Revenant?
I haven't seen Revenant yet. But the big thing about that is the shooting. Everybody talks about. I heard an interview today. They think Caprio will win it because of what they had to go through to shoot it. And I'm like, but
how is that?
Yeah, that you're changing the game rules of the game in a way. They talk about the bear scene,
right?
And they talk about the camera shots. They go, it's amazing. And I'm like, well, I guess that's cool. But then what about the story? I get the story. I guess I don't know the whole story there, but I got a pretty good idea what it is. But I think it's pretty simple in that movie.
Right.
And there's a lot of action going on.
Yeah, I don't get the what an actor goes through is why. I mean, there are awards like Paul Newman won for the Color of Money, right? Which we all knew was because he had done such extraordinary work before that.
Yeah, they get to that point with people too, and they start doing that,
right? You know and Leo's not that old, but he has done extraordinary work.
Yeah, but he's going to get another shot. Like Tom Cruise was in a similar situation with the 4th of July movie, Born on the 4th of July.
See, now that was a good movie.
Everybody thought he was going to win for that, and then when he didn't, they're like, well, he'll get another shot.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now you don't, I mean, he might, but
yeah,
he probably will.
But then his persona became the kind of thing.
Now he's the action running guy.
No, but he's also the Scientology guy.
Yeah, but see, he'll get an opportunity. He'll find a script and an opportunity. He's Tom Cruise. He's going to find an opportunity. He'll have look at what Tarantino did for John Travolta. I mean, Tom Cruise will have if you're talented, you're going to find a way back in and get a good script. You can just decide to do it. You know who's a good example of that? Matthew McConaughey. For years, he did all
that's on a level that's completely different from everybody
else. Yeah, but he did all these movies that didn't mean anything, all these weird movies, and finally one day.
How to Leave Your,
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah, with the, yeah, exactly.
Failure to Launch, yes.
The other one where he's looking for treasure and there's always. And then he got real picky and said, you know what, I'm going to find some good scripts.
His Way Back, I think, was one of the movies.
Well, Dallas Buyers Club was.
Well, that was the huge comeback.
Right.
And then True Detective, which was astounding.
Right.
On HBO.
Right, right.
Ugh.
But he started to pay more attention to the quality of the work. And,
right.
And look, and that's why he got Academy Award and showed back in.
But Travolta.
The Lincoln Lawyer might have been his first.
I heard that was good. I've never seen it.
Oh, I haven't seen Lincoln
Lawyer. It might have been his first
well-regarded
acting role.
But Mud is another one, too, that I think people. I know Nick loved that one.
Yeah.
Travolta, have you seen what his new project, the latest thing he's doing?
No, what's he doing now?
You haven't seen this?
No, I haven't seen it. What is it?
It's the O.J. Simpson movie.
Oh, that. Yeah, I've seen it. Okay. Yeah, it starts this week.
It does.
This week or next week?
Are you watching? I mean, like, I guess for nostalgia.
Why? No, you know what? No,
no,
I'm not.
Cuba Gooding.
I know the story backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
There was just a documentary on it again recently where I had watched it somewhere. And I don't want to see that dramatized. You know what? I lived through that trial. The last thing I want to do is see that dramatized. It was dramatizing enough on TV. Do you remember that time?
It was every
single day. It was on TV. I was in L.A. at the time. And it was every day. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was here. I moved back from Chicago to here, L.A. to here. And I was working in a retirement home near Northwestern.
Okay.
And that trial was on every day, all day. That's all it was. And it was on every radio, everywhere you went.
This is a trial, but the car chase and everything leading up to it. I mean, there are a couple of things that CNN exploded on. And first was the little girl in the well. Do you remember that in the 80s?
Right. Yeah.
And then it was O.J. That seems to be the two things that created.
Well, the car chase thing. I remember the car chase because I do remember this. We were playing the Comedy Womb that night.
My
brother Mike and
some other guy's name? J.D.? What was his name? No.
Mark was there. Mark was the guy behind the counter, and then there was another guy there.
I don't know. Big dude.
Yeah.
Dark hair, beard.
Yeah. But the car chase,
remember him.
That's when I first realized, you don't remember him? Okay.
Yeah.
That's when I first realized that O.J. did it. Because up until that point, I thought maybe O.J. didn't do it. I'm like, well, you never know.
The car chase?
Yeah. I go, you never know. And then the car chase comes out. I'm like, oh, man, he did it. He totally did it. I'm like, there's no question now that he's completely, you know what I mean?
It was the car chase.
Yeah, it was that. So I'm like, there's absolutely no question in my mind that this guy killed those people now. There's no.
Are you watching and have you watched or getting into this? Because we tried. Craig and I both tried. I haven't asked Esmeralda about Making of a Murderer. People aren't talking about it as much because of all the stuff that's coming out now.
No, I haven't watched any of it.
Esmeralda?
No.
Craig,
I'm just not in.
We tried the first hour.
Yeah, I can't. I can't get past that first episode.
No,
everybody says the second one's better. But
no, I tried that too.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think I talked to Segrin. It's another thing he watched that he said he liked. He was into.
Yeah, a lot of people were into it.
Patty, let me ask you this though. Since and more stuff has come out now where there might have been biases with that and maybe things that made him look guilty that are just not there.
Right.
Is it the fact that maybe you and I, when we saw it and we heard the stuff about like the animals that he killed, I didn't fall like in love with him as an innocent person.
No. That lost a lot of people, actually.
Yeah.
The cat?
The cat thing. Yeah, that lost a ton of people. I know a ton of people are like, "There, I'm out."
Because if you don't take him as being this innocent guy that's just had a horrible set of things happen to him, it's not as interesting. It's just not as interesting.
Right, yeah, isn't that
strange? You're right.
Yeah. It's that one thing.
Yeah.
And so many people are coming out now with, because now they're really lasering in on things, and it's whether an ex-girlfriend of his says he's not a good guy, and there's pictures that show that she had a key ring and not just one key for the RAV, and there's all kinds of stuff. There are so many better things to watch.
Right.
Like Daredevil and Jessica Jones. I'm just saying. These are the shows I'm watching on Netflix. Do you binge watch on Netflix?
I just got Netflix back in my house. I was on the road for like 3 months. I was home for 2 weeks. I binge watched and caught up on The Blacklist. So,
I have not caught up on that.
Oh, you know what? I take it back. I'm caught up through seasons 1 and 2. So now I have to see 3.
All right.
And then there was something else I watched. I'm in the Chicago PD. I like that show.
Oh, you know, we need to call a couple people from. I actually reached out to Christian Stolte, who is.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Yes. And also a few other people. We have, you know.
Well,
what?
There's another show.
You have a fourth one. Yeah. Chicago Law. Yeah.
Lenny, I am so bad. There are people that I know that I'm friends with that are comics, that are actors. And Craig's like, get them on the show. And I don't reach out to them. Like Tammy Pescatelli, who was in the news over the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she has not responded. Like I waited until like she was in the news, and I didn't mean to do that, but I never really knew when to ask. I'm not good at asking my friends. You gotta reach out. You know, I will respond. How quickly do I respond?
Like you got in like 12 seconds.
Yeah,
I was like, well, she'll get back to you. Beep 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 beep. Like, oh, that was quick. I didn't.
Lenny, and you can ask people on Facebook. There aren't many people I get back to that quickly. You're one of the people that I
get back to. Right. I'll take.
But also, I was waiting for a call from ABC. More after this on 720 WGN. No, you can do this. We're chair dancing.
We didn't have time
for chair dancing. Stay loose. Let's all be comfortable. It's just Monday. We'll work up to it throughout the week. There you go.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Let's just start slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll build up.
Yeah.
We'll just, oh, there you go. Oh,
can't wait
I like it.
Thursday. Wow, what's he doing?
There you go.
Do a little roll.
We gotta go. The end of the show.
Batman.
Oh, I'll do it. Batman?
Nice.
I got you. Oh, here you go.
Are you swimming? Are you doing that? Okay. Are you guys doing that? Okay, yeah, sure.
I'll swim.
Okay, good. That box thing.
We're doing a butterfly now.
Okay. All right.
A little backstroke.
Oh,
okay. Esmeralda can do these.
I can't float well enough to do a backstroke.
You can't. Oh, here you go. How about front stroke? You just like pull out the gun and reach.
Yeah.
Pull out the gun and reach.
Yeah.
Just pull it out of your holster right there.
Yep.
Yeah,
pull out the gun and reach.
It's how I learned how to swim. Pull out the gun and shoot. Pull out the gun and shoot. Yeah.
That's a great
way. Side stroke was reach for the apple and put it in the barrel, in the bucket. Reach out for the apple, put it in the bucket. Reach out. That's a side stroke.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
With the backstroke, though, you have to be able to float, right? There's a floating component.
Well, you kick.
Yeah.
Do you not float?
I don't float.
You have to float. Everybody floats. What are you made out of, metal?
I heard that women float easier than men.
I can't. I've never been a man, so I don't know how hard that would be.
I feel like we don't float as nicely as women do. We float.
Well,
more.
If you flail around in the water, you're not going to float.
Uh huh.
That's what I'm assuming you're doing.
I don't know. Screaming.
There's a reason for the women floating more than men thing.
What is that, Lenny?
It's. I don't want it to sound wrong. I'm. Just, it's the
body fat.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh.
I got it. Okay. I got you. That's all right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
was.
But in childhood, there's BMI is pretty relative to little ones. So when you were a child, also a problem?
Yeah. I wasn't really a floater.
Might be a good thing.
It wasn't my talent.
I don't know.
It wasn't my talent.
It wasn't your talent.
it wasn't my
I failed floating in fourth grade.
It scars me.
I'm sorry, Craig. You're going to have to take floating over again. Come on!
Floaties and everything, and I still couldn't do it.
Do you swim, though? Because you
yeah, I love swimming.
You're very adamant about Lake Michigan not being an ocean.
I don't remember when I learned how to swim. I don't remember that.
But so when you... So I... Okay.
I've never floated, though. I always just move, you know, and I can stay up if I do that. But I can't just float.
Okay. Can we...
You look like you're drowning now. But then,
Greg can't
you're
swim
totally,
at all.
You're, like, you're no risk of drowning, but you look like you're drowning.
I now understand the dolphin when you do it. Because he does this.
Yeah, that's a learned move from the water. The dolphin is just
the worst dolphin noise ever, by the way.
It was good. No, we got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is not a dolphin.
Also, my rocking chair squeaking. Right? Maybe we need to get someone to come in and work on this with you.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I like
get
that.
Like a little baby pool, and then I'll try to float in that.
Okay, maybe they don't come in. Maybe we go to them. I see a video in
that's
our
future. That's a remote thing, really, if you think
I think
about
that's
it.
Probably that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on Steve Cochran's show in just a few hours. I should probably get some sleep. I'm going to lock myself in our office. I should have ordered food earlier. But we were taken over. We were hijacked in the studio by many, many, many comics.
Oh, I heard.
And we've never had that. I have a lot of friends that are comics. I've never had them on the show at the same time.
And the one thing we should say to the comics, if they're still listening, is that the guys who are sitting away from the microphones, it's not good to try to be on the mic still. That's not a good approach.
Yeah.
That's a horrible setup for a comic. You get that many comics. That's a lot of yelling and trying to get word in.
There's a lot going on.
It's a lot working out.
It was Will Durst's segment, and that's why I invited him back for possibly Thursday night.
Is he there all week downtown?
He is.
I love Will Durst. He's so funny.
Patty, we got a text message from the 219. I'm not sure how you're going to take this. I love the end of the show song, but please do not talk through it.
Oh, we've never talked through it. That was our first time.
That was the first time we've ever done that, 219.
We've never talked through it. I apologize, 219. Yeah. Someone asked for an MP3 copy of that, so we should make that available.
Well, we're going to have Jason come in and perform.
Yes, we are.
At some point, yeah.
By the way, so I'm on Cochran's show coming up in about, 5 hours. I got to go to bed. So he is doing a Hometown Voices coming up. He's heading to Naperville for the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices presented by Allstate. You can join the Steve Cochran Show for a live broadcast at Egg Harbor Cafe in Naperville on Friday, January 29th. That's coming up this week from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Start your day off right and come enjoy the cafe special breakfast creation by Very Berry Pancakes. I'm so hungry. At an exclusive price just for you during the broadcast. Visit the events page at WGNradio.com for details. The radio Hometown Voices for WGN. The tour is presented by Allstate Chicago's own Good Hands. So that's coming up. You're leaving town on Friday. We can't do it together.
No, sorry.
No, I'm
Friday
sorry.
Morning I'm leaving.
What airline do you fly on, by the way?
American most of the time.
Why American?
I think Carnival ends up. I fly through Carnival a lot, and the guy that owns Carnival owns American and owns the Miami Heat, and it's all a whole big package.
I like the tie-in with the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
So your event coming up this Saturday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Tap House in Westmont.
Yeah, the auction is from 4 to 8. It's a silent auction, and then there's half-price appetizers afterwards. Music at night from 6 to 10 with Dave Byron, who's an internationally recognized guitarist.